Hello, welcome to the LinkCast. This is the Jotbomb Community's Guild Wars 2 podcast week of September 9th. I'm your host, Suckfest Cynic, and joining me today is Noobarama.
Hi.
But louder. I need something
hi.
From you. More.
Hi.
Higher. Harder. Faster.
I can't start the show off with that's what she said joke, right? I can't start.
No, you can. Riven.
What's it's Adirangelis on the forums, but hey.
Adirangelis? What was the joke? You can't lead like
you were
that.
You were saying harder, faster, and I was just that's what she said joke.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Like
that's
it.
Fine. This isn't a. I don't know. Should I do a parental warning at the start of this one as well? No, whatever. Fuck it. It's not an explicit tag. Durin is also here.
No class.
I am not allowed to say hello, so hi.
Hey, yeah, that's better. Hi. That is legitimately better. That is legitimately better because at least you put some emphasis on the hi. Chav the World's back after a long ass time. What's up, Chav?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I just bring some.
We usually have Zoom Ramen on the show.
How do you feel about that man being like the prime representative of your country on a podcast?
I heard he's a big fan of the British National Party.
I heard he tells terrible, terrible, terrible jokes all the time. Man. So,
man, have you seen him running around like at British National Party rallies? I heard he's like one of the front men or something.
Oh yeah,
like
I go to those all the time.
Wait, is he actually Welsh? Is that a thing? I never established
that. Well, all I know is he fucks sheep. That's right, Zumi. That's right, I'm calling you out. You fuck sheep.
He doesn't sound very Welsh.
He doesn't listen to the show. What are you talking about? He does not listen to the show.
No. This is a secret.
Which usually kind of say that, whatever you want. Robin, what are your thoughts on Zumi, Robin?
I think his puns are great, but that's because I'm a connoisseur of horrible puns as well.
Oh god, like those two. City and Momo chat with Robin and Zumi Robin is perhaps the most. It's like I just feel like slitting my wrist.
What are you talking about? Yesterday was great. Yesterday was great.
Give us an example of what you usually pump out, what you squeeze out of your fucking mouth holes.
I can't do it on command. I need some setup. I need some build up.
Right. He's an artist, right? You gotta wait for him to, you gotta give him time.
So stay tuned. Stay tuned for some of that action. Oh,
you
god.
Scum. So the only thing better than those two in Mumble is Zumi Ramen and Baloo.
Only thing better or worse?
Depends on your outlook on it.
They're usually all on
Zumi
the same
and Baloo
time.
Is
that's
pretty
the thing.
Awesome.
No, see, the thing with Baloo, right, is when he does it, he goes all the way fucking. I think he has a book. Doesn't he have a book? Was that from?
No,
a book?
He had that list of horrible jokes.
Yeah.
And those were great. They were awful. Offensively awful.
I can't remember one. I think I've just like wiped them from my memory. They were so good / bad.
They're like weapons of mass.
Wait, offensively
like
awful
Germany,
like last week's
Germany
show.
Germany now possesses these weapons.
No, there was one. There was one joke involving pepper spray.
Was there one? Fuck.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because the man who survived mustard gas and pepper spray was lightly assaulted.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It's not even right.
Oh.
No, I said that wrong. The guy who survived mustard gas and pepper spray was well seasoned.
Oh, gosh. Gosh.
And that has been the LinkCast for this week.
Oh.
Okay. I guess I'll see you guys next week.
Oh fuck! No, I like both versions. I actually like assaulted more.
Where he went through like what half of the countries in Europe?
Oh yeah. He made a sentence out of the country names. Like they're all. If you couldn't tell from that, they're all based on like the most tangential of puns. Oh. Again, I'm sorry. I apologize to the audience. Like last week, we did nasty jokes, and that's fine compared to
that's fine. At least we were mocking that horrible human being. Now we're encouraging him.
At least I can't post lyrics into Mumble and have it play like I normally do.
Oh yeah, that's true. Oh god, like abusing text to speech.
Larf, oh larf. Okay,
I posted.
What are we doing? No one knows what we're talking about, and we're just spouting shit.
Lyrics at a time or character.
Oh yeah,
time.
So like in Mumble,
you
if you enable text to speech. It gets, well, yeah, in Mumble, if you're able to text-to-speech, it gets the robot lady just to read it out. So when Guild Wars 2 is down for maintenance, we invariably just fucking post terrible song lyrics into there and make or just like torture everyone. Because if you post it, you can't hear it. Like it's perfectly. It's like literally.
Yeah. You're safe from lost
the ultimate trolling. It's the ultimate troll.
That's why you just turn text-to-speech off. I'm telling everyone, if you're going to come on our Mumble server, just turn text-to-speech off. Better yet, mute and deafen yourself.
The worst thing we did, the worst thing some people did was raise the character limit.
Oh yeah, we did that. That was bad.
So I could, I was literally just posting the entire song lyrics at one time, and then just walking the whole fucking computer. Song.
And it doesn't end, because it taps into Microsoft like Sound Reader or like whatever it is. So even if I like mute Mumble, it keeps going. It just keeps going. You can't stop it. You have to like end process tree on Mumble to get it to fucking stop speaking.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear, hey, you.
I could be your girlfriend. Like, no way. I think you need a new
spoken
one.
By the Microsoft text to speech lady.
Yeah.
Join on Mumble.
Don't join.
Fuck, it's the worst. Don't join on Mumble.
God damn it.
No. Don't.
Oh god. Anyway,
no, join on Mumble, but not for that.
What else is there? Oh, the puns. Okay, yeah. If you like the puns,
well, the puns should. And
we'll punish
and
you
the,
with our puns.
Oh god,
the puns. We need to
like we need to bring all of, like
than...
all of these pun lovers into one channel, and then we'll ban all of them in one fell swoop. It will be the greatest battle victory in our Mumble server. It will be written in history.
There are the puns. There are the puns, but then there are also the racist jokes that are actually like stuff that we couldn't have even said on the podcast last week.
I think racist jokes are fine, but like puns are just terrible.
Racist jokes,
but the puns are bad.
I don't even think they're jokes. I mean, I know for a fact I mean some of it. But I don't know about others.
Oh god! Puns. Hello, welcome to Linkcast. This is the Joyful Cuties Guild Wars 2 podcast. We give some energy. I'm gonna suck the city. And joining me today is Numerama.
Hi.
Durin.
That's racist.
Robin, a new guy on the show. Hello, Robin.
I'm very, very punny.
Get the fuck out.
And Chav the World.
I don't know why I came back.
So what's everyone been doing this week? Durin, what's up?
Me? Oh, I have... I've gone back and started playing Diablo 3 a little bit again. And it's...
Really?
It's fun.
What?
They actually... Oh, they
man.
Fixed that game.
What do you...
They fixed that
game. What?
How?
So, like, okay. The biggest thing is they made some changes to the classes, did some...
Are you sure you were playing Diablo
3 and
not Guild Wars 2?
No, he booted Diablo 2. I'd be like, this looks a bit funny. Whatever, it's the same game, right? And he just kept playing.
They did some balancing to the classes, and more importantly, they did some major nerfing to a lot of the just annoying shit, both just that was existing in Inferno, but also like some of the way that the modifiers on mobs worked together to just fuck you over. They fixed that in a lot of cases. So, like one instance was the shielding modifier. They changed it so that now if basically... only one of the mobs in a group can be shielded at once. And
oh, wow.
If there's only
that's
one left.
Change.
Yeah, and if there's only one left, he can't shield.
Oh, wow. Man, that completely changes that.
Yeah, that's yeah. Crazy. And just they got rid of invulnerable minions entirely because that's just not fun. Arcane Enchanted, they made them so they don't drop. They're less likely to drop directly next to each other as often. So they made just some changes
that didn't need to happen. That was pretty fun the way it was.
Did they get
but probably one of the biggest changes they made was adding the Paragon level system in there. And what's basically that? What that is once you've hit max level in the game, you still continue gaining experience past that, and you start gaining Paragon levels. And each Paragon level that you gain, you get like +3 to each of your major stats, and then I think some, like vitality or something. And then you also get magic find for every level as well. So the higher the higher you level, the more rares and epics and everything else you'll start finding.
Wow. So I can see that being a thing. That's definitely that's interesting. What do you feel about that? Like, it sounds like
seems like it's a fix to an issue that a lot of people had with Diablo 3 that, you know, arguably maybe wasn't really a problem, but a lot of people, you know, going from Diablo 2 having the 100 level cap or 99 level or whatever it actually was that most people never really saw.
Right.
Like, they went into Diablo 3, and one of the first complaints was, oh, God, there's only 60 levels, and then you're just, like, that's it. And so I guess, like, to some extent, it fixes that problem, because once you hit 60, there are 100 Paragon levels. So there's more leveling to do.
Wait, are the same difficulty to, like, to gain as the previous one? Like, does it take you forever to fucking level up to
It seems like the first, like, 4 or 5 don't take too long. After that, it starts to kind of slow down. But there's already one guy that's, like, Paragon level 90-something. So it all just really does depend on how much you play it. But it also kind of fixes another problem, too, and that is, like, on top of the changes they made to the special mobs and stuff and the modifiers for them, this allows you to, as you raise your Paragon level, like, Inferno is going to kind of get easier and easier and easier to some extent, just from those stat gains and, more importantly, for the magic find gain. So as you get this higher, you're going to start having a better chance at getting better gear. They also went through and revamped legendaries and made them their stats appropriate for being legendaries. And just kind of in general, it seems like getting it seems like in general, like, just getting better gear seems to be a little bit easier than it used to be, at least for, like, gearing up. So it's just kind of made the overall experience a lot more fun than it was, and kind of closer to what people were expecting out of that game.
Yeah, it sounds like that would work. I'm just trying to think. This entire time, I've been trying to think, what would I have done if it was like that on launch? Would I have stuck with the game? I don't know. Maybe.
I know that I would have, because the biggest reason why I stopped was because I hit that kind of that wall that everybody, or a lot of people, hit in Inferno. That was kind of the Act 2 to Act 3 area.
Especially those in the invincible minions and the shielded guys. Those were just fucking impossible to take down.
Yeah, and so, like, the changes they made, like, I would have been able to continue progressing, and so I would have at least stuck through the game through that progression. Now, whether I'll actually stick around with the game once I've downed Diablo on Inferno or not is maybe a different story. I don't really know yet whether the Paragon level system is going to be enough to keep me playing past that and keep grinding then. But at least this is allowing a lot of us who weren't crazy insane about the game or weren't, you know, abusing exploits to actually go through and finish just the basic
progression playing of wizard. The game.
Or
Demon I played Hunter. A wizard.
Fuck yeah, same. Easy mode. Easy mode engaged.
Fuck you. To be fair, the only reason I beat Diablo was because I glitched it so I was invincible and then just stood there.
Yep. Was it the crystal skin? Did you use crystal skin?
No, because I did not hit max level, or I didn't hit the level I needed to be to use that.
Oh, right. So you got first run through. First one through. Okay, yeah. Well, did you get to Inferno, Revan?
Yeah, I got to Inferno. I beat Inferno Diablo, and then I closed the game.
Exactly. Like, Wizard was essentially one of the only, and I think it was Demon Hunter back in the day.
Demon Hunter even longer than Wizard. Everything.
Yeah, exactly. You just literally you can just run Glass Cannon. It doesn't even matter. You just fucking, like, literally, there's a Glass Cannon trait or whatever you call them that you can take, and then straight off.
Yeah, there's a glass Cannon trait, and you could have it set up so you could not be killed, because you could take 4 hits, because they couldn't do more than, like, 65% of your health, and you would regenerate health so fast, it wouldn't even matter.
Yeah, it was awesome. And Wizard was always, like, I played a Wizard and a Bob. Bob's level 54, and a Wizard's level 60. I never beat the game, like, on Inferno, but I got to the point where it wasn't fun anymore, because I don't like playing Glass Cannon specs in Diablo. And I could, like, when I switched over to Glass Cannon, I was just essentially rolling everything through. But I didn't feel like I was being challenged.
I was the other way around. Like, I was playing a monk, and one of the reasons why I stopped was because I didn't like that I was being forced into a very, very specific playstyle. And that playstyle was 100% defensive. Like, I couldn't dual wield if I wanted to. I had to stack, like, stupid amounts of defenses and you know, resistances and dodge chance, and to some extent I understand that, but when it gets to a point where I can't play the class the way I want to play it in order to progress, just through, like, the
it's
basic
so
gameplay.
Interesting, because if you think about it, Diablo lacks the Trinity. Like, they're it's very similar to Guild Wars 2 in that for the first playthrough, so a normal mode, it's almost exactly the same. Like, you can play however you want with your character and beat the game. Mm. And you can play with any composition of people as well. Like, there's a lot of parallels there. But after that, it's just like, there's no Trinity, but you kind of have to have, well, you don't have to have a tech, but, like, melee classes are forced into a tanky role, pretty much. Like, he can't play a god cannon melee, I think, that I've ever seen successfully in Inferno. And I don't know. It's weird how it's like the opposite. It starts with so much choice and then just narrows everyone down, as opposed to like other games, especially more recently, which have just been a lot of choice all the way through.
Yeah, well, and like I said, the fixes they've made have gone a long way towards solving that problem. I know I heard from a friend that apparently, like, because they made such dramatic changes to some of the classes, like, apparently, like, barbarians actually have like two ranged builds they could do.
Oh wow, that's awesome. That's pretty cool.
Like, so they made some good changes to the game. I guess demon hunters are kind of feeling a bit of the nerfing now, and kind of Blizzard might be taking it a bit too far with them, from what I'm hearing. But then again, I'm hearing that from demon hunters, so who knows?
I'm pretty sure Noobarama's dying. Noob, are you there? Do you have a pulse?
Oh no, he's going through Guild Wars withdrawal. You gotta get him on Guild Wars.
No, dude, you can't play the game during the show.
I'm just playing RuneScape.
Okay, that's fine then. That's fine.
Kind of quit Guild Wars. It got kind of a scale.
But yes, Diablo 3 looks cool. That's good to hear. It's paid
tune
by
next
to play.
Week
so
to the Diablo 3 cast.
Yay! Noobarama, what have you been up to this week?
I just got sick of playing Guild Wars, so I actually did go back to RuneScape.
Of all the games.
You think I'm being sarcastic, but fuck you, I'm serious.
Of all the games you could have chosen.
Of all the games.
Really, so, you know, I went to Lumbridge with my character, and uh-huh. You know, I killed some rock people. And then I cut some wood in Guild Wars. See, Guild Wars, or not Guild Wars, fuck. RuneScape pioneered mining and wood cutting and all of these things that ArenaNet just shamelessly copied off. Yeah, and it takes so much more skill. Like,
yeah, oh,
honestly,
yeah.
I don't know why I even wasted money on this fucking game.
But you've had like barely any time with the game this week, right? Because of other commitments. Yeah.
There was one day he signed on it, like,
you know, like,
4 a.m. to play.
I don't understand.
School.
Like, apparently you need a permit to run a daycare. I didn't know that, so. What a joke.
I know, after the kids started going missing, you'd think they'd just
okay,
ask.
Look. Okay, the parents didn't know, but the kids were safe, so I was the one taking care of the kids.
Like, that's what daycare's for, right? You take care of the kids.
I don't think I'm the criminal. This system is broken.
You only took the kids from bad
and
parents.
And Ron Paul 2012, clearly.
What?
What the fuck?
Hey, you talked about Diablo 3 for like 30 minutes, and I just went out
so
of it. I just
politics?
Went out of my mind.
Okay, sure. All right. Fine. But yeah, so I don't think you actually got much time to give us, right? But
I stopped playing on Monday, and then I just started playing today, like at about 50 minutes ago. Was the first time I played Guild Wars in like 6 days.
Man, how does that feel?
Fuck! I want to play Guild Wars.
Wait, so have you maxed cooking yet?
No, like I just dropped the game on Monday. Just dropped it. I played a little bit of other games here and there, but I did not want to play Guild Wars until I could devote a significant chunk of time to it.
Right. And are you still pursuing Greatest Cook Interior status?
What? What's that? I don't know what that is.
Can you hit 400 crafting?
I don't think I've ever made that promise, and no.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Wait, did you buy that? You bought the chef outfit, right, though?
No. No, I bought like 8 bank slots instead. I'm like, should I get a chef's outfit? No, I gotta get bank slots while they're cheap. And now I just have vast amounts of empty bank space, and I'm willing
somewhere
to rent
there.
It out. I'm willing to rent my character out, like my bank slots out, at a pretty cheap price. So, like, yeah.
Somewhere out there, like, the Noobarama fans are crying.
Right.
The god has fallen.
I'll take your items. Like, if the bank defaults, like, you know, it's a Greek bank account, so. For all we know, everything in there could be gone, and it wouldn't be my fault.
There's a big vault behind you. It's just empty.
It's not my fault. You know, it's
ask
the recession.
The
it hit me hard. Yeah. Yeah.
Robin, what are you up to this week?
Yeah, but I did have dreams about Guild Wars. I did have dreams about playing Guild Wars.
Okay, wait. All right. Go. Go.
It was a dream where I was playing Guild Wars. You know, little kids were running around my house.
Wait, was this one of those dreams from third
perspective? No, this was just a dream of me playing Guild Wars, and then suddenly my computer crashed, and then I woke up. That was literally the dream.
It was fucking sick, depressing. Bro.
I'm like, I really want to play Guild Wars, and then I just stopped. I just quit. Quit life.
I don't even know how to react. I don't even know how to react.
I want to play Guild Wars. This is literal withdrawal symptoms. I have headaches.
Oh, God.
I have the shakes. It's like the jitters. I don't know what the fuck it's called.
Revan.
Anyway, I'm bleeding out of my eyes, and I think it might be.
What have you been up to this week, Revan? What's up?
I've been playing a bit of Madden.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, wait. Sports games.
Yeah, I'm a sports fan.
American football.
What? This is a nerd podcast. Yeah. For nerds.
Yeah, get out of here. What do you think? Like, you frat bro.
I like sports.
Frat. I don't know what the fuck.
What's... Wait, so Chav, you play... Wait, why did you...
Why did I play Madden?
Say anything.
Yeah.
You play Madden?
Yeah. I have a friend who totally, like, hates football and, like, English football, soccer. So he only plays Madden, like that's the only sports game he plays, and he totally bought the new Madden, so I went around his and played some of that this week.
Oh, did you like it?
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. It's like
hard. Do they have commercials in the game too?
When you have
no, but it has ads.
It does have adverts. It's got like adverts for pizza companies and shit.
You know, like after every 5 minutes of play, they switch the commercials.
Mm-hmm. It's not even just an ad, like it's straight up like there's a fucking web address on there to
go to.
Yep. It's better than last year where they... Actually, it's worse than last year where they had a stat dedicated to Old Spice. They had their Old Spice swagger rating.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
How swag it is.
I have an important question. What do you think of the intro movie? Because my friend is infatuated with it.
It's Ray Lewis, so I love it.
Okay.
Cool. Ray Lewis could threaten to kill me and I'd be fine with it.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. That man can put passion into something.
I need to take the reins in this because I honestly don't think there's much overlap. Even though two of the four here or five here played Madden. I don't think much of an
Madden.
Especially since a bunch of them from Europe.
Just watch the giant bomb quick look and just watch the physics engine because it's great.
Yeah, it's
body's going in
pretty much the best feature of that game.
I think FIFA 2012 has the fucking best physics engine.
It's that physics engine. They just took it and put it
in. Is it that physics engine?
Yeah, it's the exact same one, but with more dudes.
That physics engine might make me buy that Madden game.
Yeah.
Like, that'll be the first one I bought since 07. But
have you seen videos of it, Cynic? It's just like goalies tripping on top of players in FIFA 12.
I just...
Fantastic.
People look at the animations, well, the physics engine, inverted commas, for... these physics. I'm not going to say inverted commas. The physics engine from Madden and are really impressed. I look at it and go, okay, yeah, that looks
well,
good.
No.
It
doesn't look...
No, it's not because they're impressive. You're misunderstanding.
We're not
impressed.
Fuck up
so much.
It's stupid. Like, it's so bad.
It's dumb?
It breaks so well. It breaks
Is that why people
so
like it?
Well.
Yeah, it's so bad, and then every time there's a slow motion going on, like a slow motion replay going on, you see how, like, fucking stiff every actual animation in the game is because of, I imagine, because of the physics engine going on. Like, the game looks so bad.
Wait.
In, like, the best way possible.
Isn't it ironic love for you too?
Yeah, because I've watched a guy get hit and try and get up and trip over his own feet 4 times.
Oh, yeah, it does that. It's great.
What?
Or like,
okay.
One will trip, and then the next will trip, and then there's like a huge body pile.
And he just got up and fell over 4 times. Trying to get up. He just kept tripping over the person who tackled him.
Like in real life.
No, because they're not allowed to hit the quarterback in real life.
Noob Ramen knows. We all know so much about football. This is, yep.
We should. They have Canadian rules football.
More people watch NFL than CFL in Canada. That's just one.
I wonder why.
That makes sense.
I wonder why.
Because CFL
is
hockey.
Crazy.
CFL's dumb. Well, I can't say it's dumb because I've never watched a single CFL game in my life.
How long before EA
it's
make
crazy.
An Aussie
rule? There's more people on the field. The field's longer.
Better or worse than the XFL?
The fuck is XFL? Is that like the women in lingerie playing football?
No.
No, XFL.
Oh, I'm not interested.
XFL was the that was what it was called, right?
That was Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon. Yep. It was XFL.
Oh my god, that was so terrible. I think the best worst feature of that whole thing was the mics in the players' helmets, so that you could hear them like call their plays and just their general like huddle chatter.
Yeah, the NFL straight up stole most of the features from the XFL after it went under.
I have no fucking idea what this XFL you're talking about is. What is it?
What?
It was a football league started by the guy who runs WWE.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Jeez. I can't see much of a difference from regular football.
I think they had slightly less rules.
Oh. All right. Anything else been up to this week?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right.
Just playing Madden. Hopping on Guild Wars.
And shit. All right. No, I want you to talk to me about your sleeping patterns this week. Because I was...
That implies that there was a pattern.
Yeah.
There has been.
All I know is that when I log into Guild Wars, Revan is on. That's all I know. Like, I'm in Australia. He's in the United States of America. That should not be the case.
United States of America.
What is your... tell me. Let me know. Just give me a rundown.
I usually fall asleep after Suki tries to get a dungeon group together and that falls apart.
Yep.
That's usually about when I go to sleep. So...
Well, what time is that for you?
Anywhere from 6 in the morning to 9 in the morning.
Jesus. Fuck.
And then when do you wake up?
11 o'clock?
And when do you start playing Guild Wars 2 again?
About 11:30.
Jesus.
Wait, we're still talking AM, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to be clear.
Fucking crap.
You were on your way to becoming a statistic.
Oh god!
No, I've been cutting back because I looked in the mirror earlier this week, and it looked like I hadn't slept in about 2 weeks.
And that's about right. And that's pretty much accurate because Jesus fucking Christ!
I looked in the mirror like I was like, "Am I dead? What happened to my face?"
Well, and you know what? You know what really scares me about it is like with the amount of Guild Wars you've been playing, you also weren't the first 80. There were people playing more than you.
Oh yeah. Holy shit.
No, that's because they were playing more efficiently than I was.
Oh, that's true.
I never forget. Before I hit 80, there was about a good 8 to 10 hours of me just killing drakes.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Robin, tell us about your achievements. Because, okay, the story of Robin, and for the guys who don't know, because this is his first episode in the Lincolncast. He's a, what, new member to Guild? You've been around Giant Bomb for fucking ages, right?
I was at Giant Bomb from the start. I just don't post a lot.
Yeah, and then you join pretty much every MMO guild, or it was just Star Wars?
Yeah, it started with Star Wars.
All right, and so essentially he shows up out of nowhere, and I'm like, all right, he seems cool. And then he just freaking... run me through why people know you in the guild. What was your first achievement?
I killed 1,000 drakes before I left the second area of the game. Yeah, before I left Keswick Hills, I had killed 1,000 drakes.
See, ArenaNet, this is what happens when you don't fix your fucking trading post.
You drive people I need those materials.
Insane ends.
Like, literally, I got on one night, and he's like, oh yeah, so you can get this pretty decent drop rates from these drakes. And I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm not crazy. I'm not going to farm them or anything. I wake up the next morning, log on, and he's like, yeah, so I killed 1,000 drakes. What was it? God. Was it
right.
10 hours?
I'm just playing,
how much time
and I'm
did
going
spend?
Around like asking for cooking supplies.
I wish the counter kept going so I could see how many I had but goddamn.
But it was like a good like 4 hours of farming drakes.
I'm like, anyone have any red slabs of meat? And then he's like, yeah, just give me like a bunch of leather. So I gave him like 10 leather, and he just gave me a stack of red meat. And I'm like, where did you get that? Drakes.
And so, Revan, after all was said and done, how was the drop rate?
Oh, it was
pretty
okay.
Good. Yeah, pretty
good.
Yeah.
Seeing as how they dropped scales, fangs, and claws.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's not
usually
too bad.
Get one of the three. And you get some red meat every once in a while in a bag.
To be clear, you do not need to do this anymore. This is for
you didn't
crazy
need to do
people.
This in the first place.
Yeah,
I would not recommend this to anyone to do ever again.
Like his new statement was, "I did it. Don't do it. Don't do it."
I have 3 1,000 kill achievements.
I only have the one. I think from ogres.
Jordan, you know why I have the. You know why I have one another one of those.
Yeah, I know why. I definitely know why you have the ghost one. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, the ghost one was yeah.
The other one is because of Risen, because there's so many on ore. That's all I fight.
Wait, so you don't have the one for the blood farming area?
No, I don't. I didn't really do that.
Oh, cool. I've been doing that. It's all right. It's when I have nothing else to do, I just jump on and farm some blood. Because an MMO, apparently. Hey, guys. Guild Wars 2. Shout out the World.
Did that come out?
What?
Shout out the World. What's Guild Wars 2? This week?
Never heard of it. Don't know what you guys are
it's
all crazy.
It's the stupid RuneScape knockoff they're selling for in China.
I think we should go back to RuneScape.
It's like this horrible story involving a cat guy and a human.
Oh, dude.
It's like typical Chinese knockoff MMO.
Because I just to spoilers later, we're going to talk about level 35 to 60 content this week. Like last week, we talked about 1 to 35. But me and Revan are going to have a discussion about the dungeon storylines because... We'll get there. All right. Shout out the World, what have you been up to this week?
I went to the Paralympics. It's probably the most exciting thing
you did
this week. Yeah.
Oh, I need you to answer a question. A serious question. Okay? This is something I've had about the Paralympics for a long time.
Yeah.
Do midgets qualify?
Jesus Christ.
I was afraid of this conversation. I can just feel everybody listening to the podcast just cringing at you saying you had a question about this.
I think it's a pertinent question.
I had a discussion. I had a discussion with a friend for like 2 hours discussing like whether a dwarf or a height-challenged person is qualified for... an Olympic, like a Paralympic position because he's short. Like,
yeah,
like,
no.
So, and to what extent is shortness a disability? Like, it is a disability to some extent when you're like a dwarvenite or whatever you want to call them. But then you get kind of like passed off to the point like, well, would they qualify for the first? Like what part of the Olympics would they win at? Like, where would they win?
Not the high jump.
Like, not the high jump, not the swimming, not the running. Definitely not the running. And...
Well, I don't know. I think in that case, audience wins.
That's it. Oh, I do actually have an answer to this question. Yeah, it's interesting actually because basically the way they do it is they actually have different classes for the races. So they'll often run like 100 meets multiple times for different classes of disabilities. In London, they've decided to start combining these classes and then convert scores to points. So basically, they'll have different classes of disabilities all competing at the same time and then having their scores adjusted depending on how severe their disability is. And I did not see any midgets myself in the...
I knew it. I knew it!
No, wait. I did not see any midgets myself competing. However, because we were in the main Olympic arena, the main Olympic stadium, they were doing...
What's the PC term for midget? Is it
short
dwarf?
Person? No. So because
it is a person with vertical challenge.
No, like that's stupid. That's dumb. It can't be that.
Listen, just because other people are
honestly,
politically correct and you're just some sort of savage who goes around saying what they want,
I think anybody who
that's stupid.
I think anybody who is a midget and is okay with being a midget would probably say the politically correct term for it is just midget.
Is it? I think midget is a derogatory term.
A man child?
I mean, I would imagine they probably see it better than somebody calling them a little person.
Oh, little person's funny. I forgot about that.
Case in point.
wait, no.
How
so
they feel if I call
person,
them vertically challenged?
Vertically challenged is dumb. That's dumb. Because I'm vertically challenged. I'm also horizontally wide, but it's not. Neither of those things are. But
you're horizontally wide.
Yeah, I'm very wide horizontally. What else is there? The dwarf? Is dwarf? I think dwarf is it, right? Isn't it? Or is it?
Well, I think dwarfism is something that could be considered something different. I think somebody could be a dwarf and not be a midget.
Really?
Wait. So did you see any Canadians competing?
Yes. What? I did, but that's beside the point.
Did you see any Canadian midgets?
Did they win any medals?
I have a somewhat serious question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you see the Blade Runner run?
What the fuck is that?
The South African without legs, the guy who ran in the Olympics. Did you see him run?
No, I didn't. The only running that I saw was women
there?
Running.
What happened? No, before you finish the midget question, go.
He lost the race and complained that the person who won had an unfair advantage.
Oh, fuck off. I heard about this.
Oh, fuck off.
Because he had longer legs.
I don't know. I didn't read up.
Oh. Yeah, he complained that the other dude had like longer prosthetics than he had. And that was why that's... he
no, no, no. He was more aerodynamic midget, and he was running against it? Like a regular adult. And he said, yeah, no, this is unfair.
It's a noble adult.
By the way,
I came here in the Paralympics to be treated fairly.
So, Chav, okay. give me the lowdown on how dwarves can qualify for the Olympics.
I believe there is a class of race in or event in which they do qualify for, because there was a medal ceremony being the main stadium. They were doing medal ceremonies for things that had gone on the previous days, and there were some very, very short people on the podium. That's all I'm going to say.
I couldn't see them. They were too far away. They were just dots, really. Honestly.
They looked
maybe
really
short. It was like
short.
The Youth Olympics or something.
They were standing on the podium, and they were still shorter than the woman who was handing them the medal.
Oh wait, that's, Jesus. That's probably not the reaction they want.
Apparently, we're not above insulting disabled people. Like, I never
are
thought
disabled,
we wouldn't
though?
Be.
Are they disabled? But... That was the question I really had. Like,
I don't think they're. I don't think they're disabled.
I don't think they're disabled. They're just no. short.
I found a link.
Well,
for
actually,
the
no,
2013 Dwarf World Games.
We should all go.
Fuck. Again, this is one of the things that we supposed should happen. We're like, oh wait, if they never qualify because they're just they can't, like, literally they can't run as fast as a normal person because they have little legs. Shouldn't they have their own Olympics? And apparently, you fucking answered my question. Is it
wait,
international?
No, wait,
event?
Dwarf World Games. See, I searched up Dwarf World Games and I got Dwarf World Games for girls.
What the fuck is that? Right. What is that?
Dwarf Wait. World, the game for girls. Dwarf World is a game for girls. After a giant human foot trampled the whole village of this dwarf family, they had... Oh god, it's loading something. I don't want to get the virus. Yeah, it's real. DAAAA. Dwarf Athletic Association of America.
Oh
that was
my
the
God.
First link I saw, and I didn't click on that one. I clicked on the World Games, and now I have their schedule for their events.
When's the running? Wait, which would be the funniest? Which do you guys think would be the... Do they have hurdles?
They can't have jumping,
have,
right? There's no
have,
jumping.
They have
no,
track
no,
and field.
No, because you have little hurdles. It would be hilarious.
They have track and field.
No, see, what they do is they combine hurdles and jousting.
What? Do you mean they ride? Well, no, I was going to say
they
ride
joust
dogs.
Over
That's
the
a bit
hurdle.
Offensive. That's a bit offensive.
They ride Shetland ponies.
No, they ride miniature horses.
That's the same thing. Isn't that the same thing?
Yeah. I didn't know what a Shetland pony was.
Shetland ponies are just very small horses.
I think this might possibly be worse than last week, guys.
I don't know. I don't know.
Curling. They have curling.
Oh, God. They're smaller than the thing. No, are they smaller than the thing? Are they, no, those things
they probably have small
like knee height, right? So it's like waist high. Oh,
they have volleyball. I want to see that.
Is the net shorter?
I don't know.
Oh,
I might have to go to Michigan next year. I might have to go to Michigan.
Yeah. Where is it?
It's in East Lansing, Michigan.
Awesome. Awesome. I would like to take this opportunity to officially apologize to Michigan.
I just apologize to anyone who's listening.
You would just see an army of dwarves. Just
you wouldn't see
him,
they're so short.
Here goes another intro bit or intro cut for the podcast. Last week it was the Germans we got to apologize to. This week it's the vertically challenged.
Does in no way reflect the opinions or views of giantbomb.com.
No, it's just like, Sinek, you're just going to see like a massive army of dwarves like straight out of some sort of fantasy novels outside your home. And you're just going to get ransacked.
Stand on top of each other so you can see them.
They're going to decapitate your legs, and they'll bring you down to their height, and now you know how they feel.
Oh, fuck. So, Shadow of the World, what did you see at the Paralympics?
Disabled games? Were you about to say the disabled games?
Yeah, I was going to say the disabled
games. I saw a couple, like, 200-meter sprints, which were quite interesting. There was one class of sprints with prosthetics in, and there was the woman who won had both of her legs with prosthetics.
Oh, wait, midges could totally qualify for shooting.
Shooting?
Jeez,
yeah.
Stop with
the and equestrian, the and probably stop. Equestrian as well. Like they'd be pretty good at that, right?
On the shuttle.
Yeah, you want a light person, a small person for a jockey.
Yeah,
Their legs might not reach all the way
why
down.
You
the
see, why
didn't
you see more
special
like,
ones?
Why didn't you see more vertically challenged people?
Because if that because if they clip
the
those fucking hurdles on that horse and it falls on them, they're dead. You
oh
want to see
God,
the end? It's like you see, you know, the end of Gone with the Wind. That'll happen every time.
Ah, fuck. Cecil the Sprint.
Yep.
Go on.
Yeah, and the woman who won had no legs. It was quite impressive. And
oh, wow, that's a cool.
World record. Yeah. And she was Dutch.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was pretty cool.
Wait, so aren't they potentially faster than real sprinters? Because those some of those mechanical legs...
There's been arguments about that. Yeah.
They weren't faster than real sprinters. But I can see where you're coming from. Like, it does seem
interesting. Yeah.
But then again, you have to consider, like, they can't go flat out, because I guess those things look pretty uncomfortable. Like, have you ever... Can you imagine, you know, propping yourself up on one of those? It seems pretty painful. Like, I don't know.
Wait, what does it look like? I thought it just pops into their prosthetic attachment.
It does,
but,
like, if you imagine putting all your weight on, like, the end of your bone, like...
Isn't that what they do anyway?
Well, yeah, that's what they have to do, but I can imagine it being, like, pretty uncomfortable and painful.
Yeah, I imagine, like the impact of them running.
Yeah, the impact of putting all your weight
on
it.
Well, no, because that's how the blades are, we're talking about the curved, they look like just curves, right? Those are designed for a very low impact. Like, that's why they were made in the first place. It just turned out that they also have a lot of spring to them, and you can make people move really fast if you put them on. Like, it would hurt less than running with normal prosthetics, significantly less.
Sure.
From a mechanics point of view.
Sure.
Anyway, anything else you watched there? This is actually profoundly interesting to me. I've never been to
the was just sounds like you're mocking and them. Discus. And it was in the discus, actually, where they had the mixed categories. And it was interesting, like, seeing on the scoreboard someone who had thrown 40 meters being in second place to someone who had only thrown, like, 30 meters because of the different classes of disabilities. It was kind of weird. That worked.
Hmm.
It was pretty cool.
That's the weird thing about having them all run concurrently, because you wouldn't know the winner until everything is totaled out of the
end. Yeah, it was really weird. Really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But would you go again? It sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. Right? Like, the stadium's pretty impressive. Like, just to go and visit the Olympic Park was pretty cool. So, I would recommend.
Wait, so you didn't go during the Olympics?
Oh, yeah, I did.
There you go.
I did as well, but I didn't go inside any of the stadiums when I went during the Olympics.
How was Britain during that time? Like, it sounds
fine.
Sounded like you guys were fucking going crazy over there or some shit.
The Olympics went down really well, like, with the public. I think they were really well received and, like, supported. All the events were packed. Like, the tickets were nigh on impossible to get. I felt myself lucky to get to go to a couple of events, which was really cool.
Which ones did you see during the actual Olympics?
During the actual Olympics, I only saw one event. I meant a couple, including the Paralympics. But I did visit the park on one day. So I visited the Olympic Park and walked around, looked at the outside of all the new stadiums that were built. And also I went to...
They're usually really impressive.
Yeah.
Like, stadiums you'd think would be, like, simple to build. But just from, like, an architectural standpoint, they have to run through so many heaps to make something that just that massive, just that big. And just looking at it and the way they achieve those goals and do it in a pretty fashion, like, especially like the bird's nest in China, that's a spectacular building. And I'd say a lot of the ones in the UK are... I wouldn't say anything's as impressive. No. At least
I think China definitely had more flair with their building design. Ours were pretty standard, but then...
Well, yours were British. Yeah. Yours were British.
We don't tend to do things that well when it comes to building shit, but the
at least they weren't castles.
The velodrome was pretty awesome. The velodrome looks like a giant Pringle, so win-win. I would have loved to go in the velodrome.
Is it a Pringle an American thing, or is that
no? We have Pringles.
Something else.
I think it's international.
No. I mean, who invented the Pringle?
Oh God, I don't know. Probably the Americans.
Would it be? I suspect it's like the Italians or something. It's something weird. Like some weird
like
derivation.
Yeah, Italian.
Pringle of
weird.
Scotland is luxury knitwear manufacturer and importer. The brand is worn by the likes of Madonna, David Beckham, Nicole Kidman.
What are you saying?
What
is this?
That's what a Pringle is. Pringle of Scotland.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, don't go to Scotland.
Anyway, Guild Wars 2.
I heard that's a game.
Oh yeah, that's right.
All right.
Played that.
Fuck, how long did we go this time? I don't even remember.
An hour and 10 minutes.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway. What's the ticker on? I need to know. What's the ticker on in the stream? How long are we streaming for?
I don't have a count on the stream, but I would say it was probably about
50 minutes.
Yeah, 50 minutes.
Oh, fuck. All right, so we're 20 minutes behind schedule. Whatever. Fucking Slinky Cast. Sekiro was too. So this week we're going to be talking about level 35 to 60 content. So as I said last week, if you where we talked about level 1 to 35 with a little spoilers of 40 stuff, if you don't want stuff spoiled for you, this isn't the episode for you. Again, there's plenty of good podcasts out there like the Guildcast and Tales of Tyria who do a good job of just like spoil-free content, I think. I haven't paid attention. I assume they're not fucking spoiling anything like we are. But yeah, so we're just going to be talking about that. So if you wanted to hear our opinions about how the personal story goes after level 35 and some dungeon stuff, then yeah, stay tuned. This is going to be cool. So who wants to start? Like, Noob, I think you're... Alright, so the thing is, I'm level 80. What's everyone else? Like, Reverend, you're level 82, right?
Yeah, I'm level 80.
Do you have an ult?
I'm thinking about working on one. I have a level 2 thief that I wanted to try out some more, but I've heard nothing but bad things about the thief.
What's with that? What's with that?
Yeah. It's
like everyone it's like I've heard playing a thief like basically regrets it.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like I haven't heard like in PvP they're doing really well. Like that before in the betas there was a bunch of threads of how to deal with warriors in PvP because 100 blades so and so forth. People were just getting their faces rolled, but now I'm seeing like threads about how to deal with thieves in PvP. Like it's crazy to me how awesome that class is. But then as soon as I talk to like any thief in PvE. It's just, like, nothing but fucking... It's as if they can't even survive. Like,
we were in that dungeon with Kessler. He fell over dead during that final boss fight, like, 7 times.
Yeah.
Or no, yeah. And when I go into PvE, remember how Kenobi was complaining about a thief getting him down to about half health, and then he just falls over dead?
Yep.
He wasn't kidding. I got down to about half health, and then I fell over dead.
Wow.
I almost made it through it.
Did you keep track of did you keep track of what the damage tick was from?
I was just so shocked that I died that quickly.
Yeah, because you don't die. That's
yeah.
That's...
I'm used to like I'll just sit here and take some of this damage, heal up, take some more, heal up.
Oh yeah, because you're a guardian. Just for the audience's sake, so you play a human guardian, is that right?
Yeah.
And I play human warrior. Shav, what are you playing?
Shaw Necro.
And what level are you?
55, maybe?
Cool. And Durin, your human elementalist, what level are you now?
71, 72, somewhere around there.
And Noob, you're a human guardian again. What level
and
you?
I'm 81.
Shut up. Are you even
no, fuck
71?
You.
You're 71,
no.
Right?
No, I'm 65.
Oh.
don't worry, my second character is level 58. So, like
if you
worry.
See, if you saw his little happy face when Guild Wars 2 came out, he was so happy. Yeah. I was like, "Aw!" And then, yeah, now he just hasn't been able to play, and I feel so sorry. Anyway,
fuck.
So yeah, Revan. So in PvP, you usually play a tank build, right?
I built that thing as a brick wall.
Yeah,
I will walk. I will eat any damage you throw at me.
And
but that thief got me down to half health, and I just died.
What the like, fuck? I can't wait to PvP now because I've never.
People are supposed to die when they're killed.
Oh, right? I can't wait.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Same. Like I haven't touched any structured or War vs. World at all since release, so I'm really interested.
I want to find
like,
a counter to the thief,
with the exception of that thief. Structured has been kind of funny because everyone is so bad.
Oh yeah, that's what I was worried about. That's kind of been staying away from
it.
Because when we played structured in the betas, we generally played guild events, so it was just guilds on both sides. So you'd have the scrubs who you just fucking roll over, but when you met a guildie, then you'd have like a decent fight of it, right? But just like rolling structured by myself, I think I only did it once since launch. It was just like this isn't fun. Like it's not. It's not that it's hard or anything. It's not that I had any problems with thieves, but I didn't come across that build because I only played for like 10 minutes. But it was just everyone was so they haven't gotten over that hump of the people who have decided whether they like structured PvP get deep into it. Like that's the thing that happens in game. In video games, you try something out. If you like it, you keep doing it and you get better at it. If you don't like it, then you kind of just stop. And that's just the generality. So essentially, you see when you track any audience as they play a video game, you see everyone filter out. Essentially, it's just a filtering system that they head into their general niches for the game. So the PvP guys haven't been filtered out yet. Like there's still people trying it out for the first time, seeing if they like it and getting into it. I'm waiting for it to be filtered down to people who really like PvP. So even though that might be better than me, might be worse than me, it doesn't really matter, but at least they would be accomplishing objectives. They won't go down in two hits. Like they won't just like click, like fucking run away from me in a war. Like, you can't run away from a proper warrior. Like a melee warrior could keep up to you. Don't try. Like if they're not popping control on me, like stuff, simple basic mistakes that people make are amusing to some extent because it's fun face rolling to some extent, but I'm over that now. I feel that I want to be challenged in PvP, so I'm waiting for that to happen. I that's why I've been kind of staying away from it. People ask me actually why I haven't talked about PvP on the podcast and why I haven't done much PvP, especially like Suki. He's like, why aren't you doing a PvP when you talk so much about the podcast? I'm like, yeah, it's just, it hasn't gotten to the point where it's fun yet. I don't know
if I'm gonna do it again for a while, because I have, all right, there was an instance where these two people were attacking the base lord on, was it, Fofire?
Yep, Fofire.
So I ran back to the base by myself, ran in there, fought them, I didn't feel like I could win it, so I ran to the guild lord. They followed me. The guild lord killed them. And another one was, I took on the entire other team by myself. It was a 5-on-1 in front of their base, and I lasted for a good 3 minutes.
For me, Cynic, I'm actually, I'm glad that I haven't touched PvP yet, and I've strictly just been sticking to PvE, because what I'm noticing, and part of the reason why I'm waiting until I hit 80 before I touch structured, is I'm noticing holes in the builds that I had been running with, just jumping straight into PvP in the beta weekend and stress test like I did. And ways that I can improve on that, as well as just improving on my overall game sense.
So, give us some examples. That sounds really interesting to me, because you usually ran a glass cannon daggers elementals, right?
Yeah. So, one of the first things I noticed was crit chance is pretty much pointless past about 44%.
Or so, yeah. That's
roughly, yeah. Roughly somewhere around there. Anything more than that,
I'd say 50 is a really good number to hit, but going past there is,
Like 50 is a really good point, a good place to hit, but if you're sacrificing other stuff to go from, like, say, 45 to 50, don't.
Yeah. Especially not power. Especially not power.
Exactly. Especially not power. Because one thing I was noticing with my, like, looking back, because I had that build saved for launch, going back and looking at that build, I was rolling like 65-70% crit chance with all of my, you know, with everything kind of, you know, gear and all that stuff taken into consideration. So, like, of course, I was critting like pretty much every hit, but because of it, like, my power just was not where it should be. I also noticed I had put points into my put trait points into Earth when toughness and boon duration, I believe, are the two. They're associated to that. Don't really matter for the build I'm going for. If I'm going for a glass cannon, I shouldn't really be going for toughness. So instead, what I've done is I've shifted those points over into fire to further increase my power that much more. And what I'm noticing is, again, because this build relies so much on my own personal ability to avoid damage as opposed to any kind of stat damage mitigation, I can kill things that much quicker now, and I'm not dying any more often than I was before because it's still reliant on that dodging. Like, that part hasn't changed.
Yeah, because with your, like, before you're running with around 2,096 total armor, I can't believe I remember that. I've typed it so many times into my damage calculators. You're someone I tested my damage against. So, before you're running with that, and it kind of got to the point where, well, there was no real issue because if you got hit by a viscerate, you were down. Like, straight, it didn't matter at that point if you'd had less or more toughness, because at the level of vitality you had at the time, two hits and an eviscerate. That's all I needed to kill you. Like, straight up. Yeah. If I landed those and you hadn't healed between them, you were dead. And reducing your toughness wouldn't change that, because that's how the math works out. Eviscerate does 7,000 damage to you back then, and my hits would be doing about 2,000 each. So straight up, like, you had 11,000 or so health, that was it. So now, even if I overkill you by 3,000 health, that doesn't matter, you're still dead. And you can kill me faster because you have more power now.
Yeah, so I pulled the stuff out of the toughness condition damage, put it into power and condition duration, which, again, condition duration, it doesn't matter that much, but it's mostly for the power. But also the other thing I've noticed too through PvE is when to use certain attunements and when some attunements are actually better than others. Where like previously, I pretty much had stuck to just wind attunement when it came to or air attunement when it came to damage because the whip does hit really really hard.
Yeah.
But one thing I didn't know back then, because I just wasn't maybe paying as much attention, I didn't really know how the mechanics worked exactly, was that the whip does not have piercing. The whip hits one enemy and one enemy only. It does not have piercing, it does not have cleave.
Oh, wow, I didn't know it didn't have cleave. That's crazy. Yeah.
So it hits one enemy, and that's it. It hits them really hard, but it only hits that one. So what I've learned now is, you know, if you are going, you know, 1v1, that is still pretty much the one you want to stick with. For at least some of the fight, because you do get a good amount of burst out of it. But I've learned that fire magic is really a very, very good damage output. It has, I don't believe it has piercing, but it does have a bit of a cone effect, so you can hit multiple enemies.
Yeah, it's a cone,
If you get in real close, you can hit one enemy with all three. Also, water attunement has its place, too, in terms of damage output. Because it does have piercing in a straight line, and if you get enemies lined up just properly, you can actually dish out a fair amount of damage between your number one ability and your number two ability. Number two being the like ice blowing attack, while also offering some support for your teammates as well. The only one I feel like is a little underpowered still, really, is Earth Attunement. I still haven't really found, like, unless you're going for a bleed damage build. It just the damage itself from the number one ability does not stack up to the others. If you're not buffing your bleeds, then you're not doing a whole lot of damage with them. And other than the knockdown that the number four ability offers you, there's not a whole lot of use for that one.
Right. So it's just kind of like all like funnels down to something I've found in that playing PvE, and we talked about this last week, but playing PvE and playing difficult PvE is a really good place to get your all figured out. Like, just figure out how you like to play and the way to play. And even on top of that, like, especially I've noticed this because I've been farming recently, you get your rotations down to almost like a millisecond. Like, when you're doing something like repetitive in PvE, especially farming, because it's essentially you're gaining money. There's like, it's a win-win scenario. You're getting better at the game and you're gaining money if you're doing properly. Like, if you play, like, for example, if you're a person who loves daggers, Ellie, and you find that staff is a far more efficient like a farming method or just a PvE method in most cases. So you rely on, for example, fire magic. So I've met Ellies that just stay in fire and just haven't really learned any of their other attunements because it's just so efficient for PvE to stay in fire staff. You're getting worse at the game. Like if you're doing that, you're actively being a detriment to your future progression. I would very much recommend you at least trying to use a slightly modified at maximum variation of what you want to run in PvP in PvE. Because just as a minimum, you get your rotations down. And that is like...
Oh, fuck.
I found that being a huge thing. Like, for example, my reaction time on being knocked down and triggering a stun breaker is now in the order of under 0.25 seconds. I just like do it. I just reactionary hit my stun breaker, and it's added. That is awesome. That's something I couldn't have done in the past. And it's So, also my build works in PvE. I didn't have to do anything to it.
Yeah, my build actually other than in explorable dungeons, my dagger build absolutely works just fine in PvE.
Fuck explorable dungeons. All I'm gonna say,
pretty much
of the two I've done.
Yeah,
fuck them.
I've only done one now, about three runs of one, but I still haven't done any since last week. I don't think
I've done two. I've done one run on AC and one run on Codicus's.
I heard Codicus's fucked.
Oh,
have they fixed it, or is it literally still just broken?
I don't know. I'm not ever running that path again. So,
okay. Let's transition to our actual topic. So, we're going to be spoiling again level 135 content. And this is actually a pretty good spot because last week we didn't talk too much about the explorer modes of dungeons. And Ascalon Catacombs, I would have expected a bunch of our listeners to at least have tried that in explorer modes by now. Probably, I guess. Like, I have a feeling that a bunch of our listeners are pretty, if not deep into Guild Wars 2, at least on the more. I'd say knowledgeable side I'd say, especially for the ones that have contacted me, they seem to get deep into game mechanics to some extent. So I assume a lot of you guys have done Asylum Catacombs, so I won't go deep into that, especially because I don't want to ruin the surprise for anyone. But when it comes to Corticus's mansion, I kind of want to talk about it because it's a bit of more of a cautionary tale rather than a there's like a tips and tricks kind of thing. So Revan, I heard you ran Corticus's manor in Explorer mode.
It was fine, except for literally one room.
Really? It didn't sound fine to me. It did not sound fine. What happens in it? What happens?
There's just this one room where you can, if you go in too far, you'll pull a mob that has too many enemies for you to be able to take out. Like, it's like a good...
It's at least 10 people
in that mob. And there's 3 bronze and I think 2 silver enemies in there, and all of them do some type of AoE damage.
it's just group
and
white.
And some of them do more damage to moving targets.
Oh god, those things.
Yeah.
Oh fuck. I hate those things so much because people don't know how to react to them.
We just had to run past them.
Alright, so let's roll through Corticus's normal mode. Who's done Corticus's manor? I have, Revan has. Noob, have you done Corticus's manor?
Explorable or just regular?
Normal, just regular story.
Yeah, I've done it. At least, if it wasn't a dream, then yes, I've done it.
And Dune has. Yeah. I'd say, I don't want to spoil it too much because the, especially the start is probably still my favorite start to a dungeon, except for maybe the one in Fireheart Rise, but I won't spoil that one for the audience until later. But
Fireheart Rise is Citadel of Flame, right?
Yeah, Citadel of Flame.
Oh, that start is great.
That's my favorite start, but second to that is the one for the Corticus Mammoth, because it's a really cold start. I won't go into more than that, but it's a nice cold start. And I think more dungeons should start like a little bit slower like that one does. Anyway, what would you guys say would be something they need to know for Corticus's Manor in general? Like Durin?
That first boss really...
Basically, I think I was going to say what Noob said. Like, that first boss can be kind of a little bit of a dick. He's kind of a pain, but he's not too difficult.
All right.
And he's pretty much the hardest thing of the entire thing.
Take about 3 steps back.
Oh, yeah. Take 2 steps back when after the second cutscene. Like, well, that's a spoiler. I didn't want to say that. I wanted them to just wipe.
I ran that dungeon earlier today with some guildies, and I didn't tell them about that.
Yeah, don't. You're not supposed to.
So I was standing in the fountain, and they were all dead.
Wait, what?
I probably should have warned you guys, shouldn't I?
No. Well, you saw me. I took you to Twilight Arbor. Was that, were you the guys that took through Twilight Arbor and I didn't spoil it for you? Or was that Zuki? I don't remember.
I went with Twilight Arbor with you the first time.
All right, so not the second time. Well, you maybe have done it with me as well the second time. I don't remember. But my general policy with dungeons is that I don't spoil anything, like, at all. I want the people I'm running with to figure it out. So even though, like, but if they hit a wall, then I'll help them. So, like, I ran with Suki into Twilight Arbor story mode, and there was, you know, that room where we all wiped, like, the fucking one with the necromancer and the spiders?
I was there. I ran the first and second time, because the first time someone disconnected.
Yeah, so I gave them moral encouragement when that telling them it's durable. And then for the last boss, I think both you and me just stayed absolutely fucking dead quiet the whole time and let them figure that one out, because it was amazing. Anyway, so the same thing.
I might have been in the mumble when you guys were doing that, and I just turned my mic off when that fight happened, because I didn't want to say anything.
I just stood there, because people think I'm a dick, because, like, oh man, why do you want us to wipe? Oh, I'm like, dude, that's kind of the fun. That's kind of the fun of the dungeon, at least to me.
I did help some guildies with that earlier, because they were complaining about it in guild chat, so I moved into their mumble channel.
Yeah, and same with the one in told them what to do. The ice one, the level 70. What was that? The birds. The 70, one with the birds.
78? You mean the birds attacking? The birds attacking. In the water?
Yeah. Don't say that loud. You don't know how to do a podcast, do you? You don't know how to do a podcast. You don't just say the thing that I'm trying to not say.
That is the safest thing.
No. If they heard that, then they heard that. I don't want to go into it. Because that is a hilarious fight if you don't know how to take him on. Now that they can just rewind to here. Anyway.
Oh, you want to see another fucked fight? Go do Balthazar. Go to Or do Balthazar.
Man. Anyway.
10-minute timer, he can one-hit everybody.
Wow.
That sounds like the best. Anyway, so probably because it's matter.
And if you die in the area where he can one-hit you, he will get his life back.
Oh, apparently. Fucking. That sounds like the greatest fight. No one's taken him down yet, right? Or people have.
No, someone has. People have. I've just never been there.
Yeah, none of us have been there when that happened.
We almost beat him one time. We would have needed 25 more seconds at the most.
Oh, that sounds... Oh. Phew. Anyway, so Cortex doesn't matter. It starts cold. Be ready for a surprise, I guess. And fuck you guys. I didn't want to say that at all.
That is a nice way to say it.
Yeah. And what else would you say about Cortex? Because I would say that. Well, I want to get to it, my criticisms of it. But
I would say kind of what I said last week, that it should have been the intro one because it's by far the easiest and most linear.
Yeah.
Aside from that, there's not really a whole lot to say about that dungeon because
I'd just say not a whole for a pro lot tip again. If you don't want to hear this, then tune out. So my pro tips would be ready for surprises at the start and watch out for the snipers at the end. That's it.
Oh, we didn't have a problem with that at all.
I forgot the snipers were there in the second time I run that. I ran,
dude.
That
yeah, that was with us, right? When I ran it with Kessler and some other dudes, I didn't tell them about the snipers. Well, I told them about the snipers, but they didn't pay attention, so they just ran forward and just got absolutely wiped out. Like, literally, they didn't even make it to the enemies. They pulled the enemies forward back to us, but they fought them in the field just in front of the snipers and just got picked off.
The second time I ran that dungeon, I went from the beginning of that dungeon to the last boss fight without going down.
Yeah, same. That's just straight up. It's the easiest. Because that dungeon... there's only those three parts. So there's the boss at the start, there's the snipers at the end, and then there's this room, which when you open the door, there's a bunch of enemies inside. And be very careful, pay attention to their modifiers, because some of them do more damage to moving targets. So, like, the first thing, your reaction is, when a bunch of enemies swarm you, is to just fucking run. And that is, like, the worst thing you can do in that situation. And this transfers over to, apparently, the explorable mode. So there's some different enemies in there with that modifier. Revan?
Yeah, that happened to Shimbo. He wasn't reading that modifier. Man. He just fell over sometimes. Yeah,
and he's a warrior, so he should be able to take
it. He would fall over while I'm standing in front of him dancing and they're not attacking me.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. But it's a really good... I actually found it, aside from the fact, the first time through, it's a really good dungeon, I think. It's a really fun...
I thought it was enjoyable. It was like the story was really fun.
Yeah, surprisingly so. Like unlike some of the other dungeons, which we'll get to.
But it introduced Zoljo, and like that's a bad trend. That's genuinely a bad trend.
That is, I'm going to say this right now. Of all the dungeons I've done with Zoljo in them, that is the best Zoljo you will get.
That's the best Zoljo you get.
I absolutely
hate her at her most likable.
So much.
Because, oh my god. Shout out the world. Have you gotten the opportunity to do Codicus' Mirror?
No, I'm really disappointed. I haven't done anything since we ran AC story mode. Like, I haven't touched a dungeon since.
Right, yeah. So, I wasn't planning to go too deep in dungeons at the start here. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, I want to round it out because, again, there's no real need to go into it. And I want to go to the later dungeons at the end of the show because I want to talk about the story of those. But just any tips for the guys if they're going to do the explorer mode, Raven?
Don't.
don't. Well, how would you compare it to AC explorable? Because we found that doable but hard.
AC was doable and hard because we were just missing a mechanic. This room, I literally have don't know how you're getting out of there outside of running past those enemies the way we did or just taking them out two at a time.
Just fucking attrition. Just attrition.
And the thing is, there's not, just attrition out. And the thing is, it's not just one big mob. There's another mob about the same size behind them. You'll have to take them out too.
So wait, so did it follow the same structure as the others where there's like there's the first boss, which is more of a skill check than anything. It's not really it. I love the fact that I'm going to try to use that term more because I think it's really applicable for the explorer modes in Guild Wars 2. In other games, like for example World of Warcraft, some of the bosses are considered gear checks. So if you don't have enough gear, I assume, can anyone explain this better than I can? Durin, for example?
Yeah, basically, gear check is just like you need a certain level of gear in order to surpass... they want you to have a certain level of gear in order to progress through that dungeon or raid or whatever it is. So what they do is they have a boss who has maybe very simple mechanics, but if you they generally will put like a hardened rage on them after a certain period of time, and if you just don't have the damage output, and the boss will maybe do a bunch of damage to the tanks. So it's considered a gear check, because if you don't have the proper damage output to kill the boss before he hits enrage, or the healers don't have the proper gear to keep the tanks alive through big hits, or the tanks don't have enough gear to keep themselves alive through big hits, that will wipe you and cause you to need to go get that better gear in order to progress through the fight.
Right. But here, I feel that the dungeons have a first boss that's invariably what I would call a skill check. Because literally, like, I find that in explorable mode, Asgore Catacombs was the only one I've actually had experience with. All three first bosses, well, they do the same thing. So there's two, like, there's a path that all the paths follow at the start, and then they branch into the center. And there's a specific boss there, which is a ranger boss, I believe. Or was it a thief? Have you established which? I think it's a thief. A thief boss?
No, because there's a dog.
Does it? No. The one in Asgore Catacombs.
He summons a dog.
Yeah, he has a dog.
I'm talking about explorer mode. I'm talking about explorer mode in that story.
Oh.
That pulls you and then wipes everyone out in one spin. That's a thief, right?
I don't remember that.
I think so.
We spent like 2 hours on it, man. I can't even joke. Anyway, so there's
I remember the protection mission and the last boss.
Okay, cool. So the first boss the first main boss in Asgore Catacombs, if you don't have your dodges down, if you're not watching for enemy animations, if you're not just like literally being on point and able to keep your skill level at a higher level point to be able to take him out, you will wipe. You will wipe and you'll wipe again. You probably won't even be able to beat him because the bosses.
Oh, I remember him now.
Yeah. The bosses in Guild Wars 2 have a really fast out of combat health restoration. So it's really difficult to just wear them out, especially since they're pretty smart about their waypoint placement. So
I have a way to break that, by the way.
Which is your way? I want to know, because AC Eklo is quite old now.
No, I have a way to sort of break the boss resets.
Oh, right, yeah. tell them, because I'm not sure if this is works.
I'm not sure. Like, the two times I've done this is when I've died and had a revive orb on me, the boss hasn't reset.
Yeah.
Just because I could potentially revive myself right there and come back into the fight.
It seems to be the case. So he just lies there.
So I just lie there and the boss doesn't reset.
And to be fair, like, this doesn't happen very often because we tend to either wipe as a group or wipe one at a time. But we haven't really gotten a chance to test for Raven just lie there dead to see if the boss resets. Anyway.
Well, when I did, what was it? It was the fifth, not the fifth. The 50 dungeon?
Which one was it?
No. Citadel Flame was the 60 one, right?
70. 70.
Okay, then it was the 60 one, because it was Zoja and Kate.
Oh, yeah. The underground one.
Yeah.
With a dredge.
The second to last boss fight, I lied there, or laid there, and it didn't reset.
Oh, yeah. That boss fight is still probably my favorite in the game.
See, I like the boss fight after that one.
I don't want to spoil the moment, but watch his animation when he dies. Watch his animation when he dies.
That's great.
It's the greatest. It is the greatest. Anyway, what were we saying? So yeah, there's a skill check in Guild Wars 2. There tends to be a second, like one of the boss fights, which will test your skill, and if you can't beat him, then you're pretty much fucked. If you can beat him, then you generally have enough skill to get through the dungeon. But also in Asgore Catacombs, there's the second room. I always call it the second room because it's a protection mission, and it seems to be like the second major challenge that any groups face. That's also somewhat of a skill check, because in all three versions of that, so there's three paths to Asgore Catacombs, and all three, you have to be down on your timings. You have to be down as a group. Your entire group has to be working together and working together efficiently to be able to beat that spot, which is why I always say it's doable. It's doable for any group. It doesn't matter what your composition is, because I've done it with multiple compositions. All that matters is that you have to have communication down and you have to really be on point at all times to take out that room. Like, would you agree, Revan?
Yeah,
the protection room, right? Though it's always a southern fridge. If you get through that, then you can beat the mission. Do you say that Corticus's Manor Explorable mode has like a similar structure to it, like a boss that everyone wipes out, and then like a second room which is hard? Or
I would I'd say it's kind of difficult overall, okay. But except for the first boss fight, which is kind of easy because we, I don't know if we did this, I don't know if we could repeat this, but we managed to pull the ads around the boss before we pulled the boss.
Oh, wow.
And we even pulled the ad that was the two ads that were standing directly next to the boss out before we pulled the boss out, and we took them out.
That sounds like a pro tip. And then he wasn't too difficult a fight. But after that, was there protection? Please tell me there wasn't another protection mission.
I don't remember if there was a protection mission, but we didn't actually do that. No, we pulled the boss out and beat him first.
Oh, yeah.
We had a harder time taking out the ad.
That sounds like very much like you can with the ranger fight, because you can do the same. Like the ranger fight in Aslan Catacombs is horrible. He's by himself in the center, and he has two like adds next to him, which are variable rate classes. Because the entire idea between Aslan Catacombs is like the people you're fighting are like warriors, monks, and shit from the First Skill Wars. Not using First Skill Wars skills, but it's somewhat similar. But you can pull the ranger boss out and fight him alone, and then take out the warrior and monk for easy time. Sounds like you can do the same thing here. That's also something we discovered. Like, if you have your pulling, like, the way, if you know how to pull properly, these dungeons are way easier. Like, way easier if you're doing that right.
Yeah, unless you're Sookie and you decide, I'm going to pull a boss by shooting the ad next to it with an attack that penetrates and goes through other enemies. Duren, you know.
It wasn't even a penetrate, it was straight up chain lightning, right?
Yeah.
Like, the name.
Chain lightning.
The name kind of says.
What it does.
So he hit the ad next to the boss, hit the boss, and then hit the ad on the other side of the boss, and hit another ad.
Oh,
so we just wiped
hell.
Right there.
Fucking Germans is what I have to say. Anyway,
so, in his defense, he said he didn't think he was in the
He didn't know he was there.
He thought he was in water.
Yeah, something. Some shit. Fuck, what were we talking about again? Yeah, so according to this banner, you wouldn't say. So you'd say it's like a significant step above Aslan Catacombs' difficulty, or is it just broken, or?
That room is broken. That last boss fight compared to the last boss fight. Compared to what the last boss of AC did to us on our first time in there.
Don't spoil it.
It is. I'm not going to say it. But what that boss does is hilariously dumb.
Yeah, it's funny.
Because I literally. Alt tabbed out during that boss fight.
Oh, the one in Corticus's?
Yeah, Corticus's. You could alt tab out and just leave your auto attack on in certain spots, and you'll be fine.
Right.
And it's kind of hard to not be in that certain spot.
Yeah, exactly. But otherwise, he's just. Well, can you take him on without cheesing? I've heard he has had somewhat cheese it.
Yeah,
say
but he'll not. Yeah, but he'll knock you into the. He'll knock you into those areas, and he'll knock you out of combat as well, so he'll just stand there and get your health back and go back in.
That sounds... Fucking that dungeon. I hope they've rebalanced it. I haven't gotten the chance to do it since then. Anyway.
You just make it so you can't go out of combat right there.
Yeah. So, Corticus's Manor, that's, the story mode is really easy. Watch out for the three spots. It's really fun. I'd do it. And it's a lot of XP if you're doing it at the level, like level appropriate.
It was like 20,000?
Something like that. Something huge. Something really big.
Yeah.
And so I'd recommend it to everyone, really. I'd say, hey, if you were a bit off-putted by Aslan Catacombs because you've heard it was difficult from your friends, they're right. It is difficult if it's after the first dungeon you're doing. Like Star Wars, I'd start with the second iteration. No, whoa. I worded that incorrectly. I mean the later ones before
did.
The first ones.
I was going to say, wait, what?
Yeah. Do the later ones before the first ones because they seem to be more interesting and not as difficult. I'd say that even like Citadel of Flame wasn't as difficult as Aslan Catacombs, the first one, the first time through.
In my opinion, I think Catacombs should be the third one. It should go Manor, Arbor, Catacombs.
Yeah. That would be good. I'd agree with that. Arbor is beautiful. It's like probably my favorite. We don't have time to go into it, but... yeah, it's really nice.
I still like how we didn't realize a mechanic until our second time through that made that dungeon substantially easier.
Oh, and there's also ways to. Well, I'll ruin that part because it's something that people should know. It's not very well telegraphed. On your way through, because Twilight Arbor is a level 60 dungeon. Again, if you don't want to know, tune out. So on your way through,
Arbor's 50.
It was 50?
50. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. The Zoya one. The other one is 60. So on your way through that dungeon, you find these pods, which are along the entire path, which on the, on pretty much the entire way through. And if you open them, you can either get, it's completely RNG. We tested it, except for one, like for a couple of them. Like the ones near the bosses are not random. Like you always get the same result, but the ones on the way are completely random. So when you open them, there's either a enemy inside or a friendly inside. And if there's a friendly inside, he gives everyone a buff, which allows you to avoid death once for its duration. It'll heal you back to math when you should go down. The thing is with that is not only should you do it because it stacks duration. So on your way through, always open them. Like even if there's a chance of an enemy inside, always open them to get that buff because it's really important for that mission. But on top of that, it's arranged. Sorry, it has a range on it. So if everyone is way behind you and say someone's charging out front and opening it, the other guys won't get the buff. They actually have to be within a specific range of the flower opening to get the buff, which is kind of cool because you get into the situation where everyone gathers up around the flower and they open it and there's like a warrior inside and everyone gets wiped. It's really fun.
I'm assuming that happened to you.
Well, no, for us, it happened to us. We went around a corner, and I think you were there as well. We went around a corner, and there was a flower there. We opened it, and it was like a really narrow passage, and we'd just beaten a really difficult like the boss fight. So we were pretty high. Like, we were like, yeah, we can do this. Go around a corner, open a flower. There's a warrior inside. Oh. People don't run back like they should. They're just like, oh, we can take it, whatever. And he just fucking wipes the party. He just fucking wipes the party. And that's on story mode. Anyway, so yeah, I wanted people to know that. Know about the flowers. Open the flowers. That's the thing. There's some near bosses you definitely want to open those.
Oh, what is it? Second boss? Not that green shit on the ground? It's not poison. You can go up there.
Oh, yeah. if you've done the dungeon,
special moment.
You'll know why we're laughing at that because there's this part where it looks like it's impossible to walk through a certain area, but it's actually safe. Anyway. So, personal stories in Guild Wars 2, finally. We're doing it kind of backwards this time around. Nubarama, do you want to take us through your experience from level 35 to 60?
Hi. Okay.
He just tuned out. I need to be louder. I need to be on point, Noob. I need to be on point.
Okay, so... what?
God damn it. God.
Okay.
Damn
where
it.
Are we starting from? 35?
Yeah, 35. So, when we left off last time, you're... Okay, again, if you don't want spoilers, do not...
Yeah, just quit.
Keep listening.
Just quit. In fact, just put a bullet through your head.
All right, so... let's go live. All right, so we had... we left off at your friend, the guy who'd taken you through the vigil, dying on... what was it? That island? I forgot what the island was called. It's
Claw Island.
Claw Island, yeah. The Claw Island mission. Where he's just straight up. Last time I did that. Like, sorry, I hadn't done that yet, and I heard it from you guys, and then did it. I think it was actually as resonant as you said it was. It was actually a really good death, really cool death.
Yep.
And I've heard the same thing kind of happens because Durin, you're what? Where are you up to your personal story for the vigil? I think it was or was it the
Friary?
Friary, yeah, sir.
I'm definitely past that point. And it was interesting the way they handled it in the Priory one too, because your mentor or whatever, she's kind of a goofy character and kind of a screw up,
mm-hmm.
Or she's kind of portrayed that way, and nobody seems to really take her seriously. And so, during the attack of Claw Island, she kind of sees this opportunity to, I guess, basically be a hero, and she sacrifices herself so that everybody else can get out, and. It's kind of a cool little turn for that character because, more importantly, like, her master, kind of the head of the Priory, shows that he clearly always had respect for her, even though you never really saw it because he's always demeaning her.
Right.
Because she kind of is a little scatterbrained. Mm-hmm. But it's, like I said, it was handled very well. Like, after I heard Noob describe how your guys' was handled and so we talk about that ours was also, you know, would die as well. I was wondering how they were going to handle that and stuff because, again, like, she's very much kind of a lighthearted character and everything. And so for something that tragic to happen, like, it was handled way better than I thought it would be.
that?
Yeah, I would say that the war, one for the vigil is really like it's
like he comes back to me in my dreams and I caress his
bosom. You've watched movies like Requiem for a Dream or like The Fountain, or it's like this crazy awesome movie, it's not that good. Like, it's come on, guys. It's not.
No, amazing. This is a video game.
It's still a video game, but video game. I have
it's
to say,
pretty damn good for a video
game. It's very good for a video game.
This is potentially the highlight of the story.
Reverend, so you're a vigil as well. Like, which one did you pick?
I chose the Order of the Whispers.
Oh wow! I need you to tell me because we didn't have any whispers on last week.
I'm also Order of Whispers, and what Durin just said is word for word what happens in the Order of the Whispers, except it's a guy.
Oh yeah! Wow.
Oh really?
So yeah,
I need you to
he wasn't a scatterbrain, conspire each other.
Who says shit about never being brave in his life, but he wants to die bravely, and then goes and saves everyone, and you get away. It's like word for word the same.
Oh, so, and then the leader of the whisper says he was really brave. He just didn't know it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds awesome. To me, that sounds great.
It sounds great.
Yeah, it was great.
But
it was
not
great.
Now that I know that it's exactly the same. If I was to go back and
happens in every single one.
Well,
right?
No, it is a little bit different the way it's handled in the prior one. Like it's similar and it is kind of a scattered brain.
It seems like the characters make different arcs, and then I guess that's
each character has
like
own arc.
Like the prior one. She's like a scatterbrain person who like she's just all like she's very like tunnel vision. She's just. Everything is about the adventure, and that's all she cares about, and kind of everyone else be damned, but it, like not in an asshole kind of way. And so, like, she kind of saw this as her, as like the best ending to her adventure, and like she's not afraid of death because it just means she can go explore something else.
That sounds cool.
That's really sad.
Yeah. So, Revan, because we didn't have a Whispers guy last week, and people might be starting to roll alts around now, so they might be considering taking the Whispers, because I think Whispers was one of the least picked from least people I've asked. So, can you run me through, do either of you remember your early Whispers missions, like how that was for you guys and this stuff as well?
Yeah. The first one was the drinking mission, where you went to go, you posed as a pirate to save someone.
Right.
To save one of the Whisper sources. So you got onto this pirate ship, and to prove to them that you, or to be a distraction for the other guy so he could figure out where the person was and get a little trap set up.
Okay.
You had to distract everyone by having a drinking competition.
That's cool.
And it wasn't just like, okay, this is just going to be a cutscene. It's like you actually have to do the drinking mission, and I feel that you could probably fail that.
Yeah, you could.
Wait,
did you?
How's it work?
I didn't actually, but I got damn close on the final guy. I barely survived.
See,
multiple rounds?
I got halfway and figured out a pattern.
Yeah, I worked it out time. But
wait, so you actually have to hit like a key or something to drink?
So you have like
you drink the alcohol. You can take a drink of alcohol, a drink of water, or you can fake a drink. You can also burp or boast.
You can do both.
Wait, so wouldn't you just fake it all the time? Or
no,
because there's a cooldown on that.
Oh,
when you fake it, the other guy doesn't.
They probably would catch on.
Longer cooldown than anything else.
So Shav, how what was your experience? Because it sounds like you had a nail-biting experience.
I was being kind of reckless and just hammering the one to just drink beer repeatedly, and it turned out the last two actually could take a few beers. And so I had to... You could drink water to heal yourself. Every time you drank the beer, your health went down. So basically it was like a poisoning you kind of thing over time. But you could burp to then poison them temporarily for a period of time on top of the drink damage that they were already taking. And then drinking water would heal you. And then they, I guess, could do something similar, but it was kind of random.
That sounds way more in-depth than I'd expected from a drinking competition. Yeah. That's crazy. Because when I hear people laughing about, hey, yeah, we got to do a drinking competition and stuff, like, oh, whatever, it's just going to be a cutscene or some shit.
Or like a couple of dialogue choices or something.
But actually having to do a drinking that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And the first guy you get to drink against is the best one, in my opinion.
But let's not ruin it. So that was the first one, and you found tell me about the Order of Whispers. Are they as sneaky as they appear, or are they more of a, I don't know.
Uh, they're sneaky. They like to hide in the shadows. They know a lot of stuff. They have spies everywhere.
Okay. So what kind of missions?
They've stolen Priory plans.
Really?
Let me just say that. They have stolen Priory plans.
That's pretty cool. So. But so did you find that that came through in the mission structure and stuff? Like, did you have to do a sneaky mission, for example?
There was a stealth mission.
Did you guys enjoy that?
I didn't do it in I did not do that stealth mission stealthy at all.
Are you talking about the one where Tybalt dresses up as whatever her name is? Or are you talking about one later on than that?
No, I forgot about that one.
I'm currently stopped at the point where we're talking about just after the Chlorine battle.
Ooh, okay, cool.
Okay. So there's a mission after that where you have to... There's a stealth mission after that.
Awesome.
That's interesting. So, how did your characters progress? Like, so, Chav kind of outlined it because apparently it's very much like Durin's. How did your character, who was your sidekick character and how was his progression and how did he terminate in Chlorine?
I can't remember his last name, but his first name was Tybalt. Is it Tybalt like Fireclaw or something like that? He went from a desk jockey who'd been in the Order of Whispers for 6 years to someone who like sacrificed his life so everyone could get out of Claw Island over the course of a couple of
missions. Yeah, it was quite extreme.
That's kind of, okay.
Yeah.
So that was actually something that I kind of had an issue with.
You have as much...
Yeah. That's something I think we should talk about because...
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, I was just saying...
You had as much field experience as I did coming into that mission. That first mission with the Order of Whispers is also his
first
mission.
But he doesn't tell you. And he's like busting around like he's a total dick. And then he's like... He gets revealed at the end. It's quite a cool reveal, actually.
Yeah. He got to one of the highest ranks in there without actually doing any field work.
That's pretty hilarious. That sounds cool. So what was your progression towards Chlorine like? Because for us, I think it was halfway through your shit. Like you do a couple missions, and then it just suddenly says, "Oh god, there's a dragon attacking." There's undead attacking Chlorine, and then you just run there. That was the visual. Was it the same for the Whispers?
That's about it. I think so.
Okay. So my main thing here is the execution has been pretty awesome. Like everyone I've talked to, or apparently you guys here as well, say that. The Chlorine mission is a huge story beat, and it seems to actually be impressive to some extent in terms of a video game. But how do you guys feel about the fact that all three things have almost the same thing happen in Claw Island?
I mean, the characters seem different, and the arcs are different.
Yeah, obviously there are gonna be some parallels.
Have some characters surviving.
I mean, obviously there are gonna be some parallels because the story has to converge at some point. But I think the bigger issue is how quickly you kind of progress through your chosen order. And like, it was like two or three missions. And like, it was literally like one mission. I went from being an initiate to being whatever their second, tier is or whatever.
Yep.
And then I did one more mission. They're like, all right, you're a magister now.
Yeah.
It's like, same for us. It's like two missions and you're now a war master. It's like, what?
And then the next mission, your fucking mentor person dies. And like, it's just, everything just moved way, way too quickly, I felt like, through the whole order stuff.
I blinked and I was in charge of an army. From being a member of the Order of Whispers to being a general.
What the fuck?
Like, oh, I blinked. What happened here?
Right. Also, I want to know, do you guys also meet the Silvari guy?
Yes.
Is he necromancer?
Oh, Trevelin?
You mean
Silvari necromancer? Okay, so he's like
whatever his name is.
He's a persistent beat that's for everyone. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that was kind of the point of why he became kind of the general of all the orders is because he wasn't actually associated with any of them directly. So it made sense why he would be the one leading it as opposed to say you because you are part of one of the orders.
So this is definitely an MMO where the fact that the personal story is personalized is like wholly true because our two events couldn't have happened concurrently because he was in both.
Yeah.
So literally a personal story is a personal story, not a story happening within a larger world. How do you guys feel about that? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know because it seems like it's well executed at least. I don't know.
Well, my character is the protagonist, so I'm the one, at least, with the real story.
Because is this like just a... Because people talk about Mass Effect 3, and the Bombcast has done it a lot recently in terms of the diamond. I hadn't heard this term before they went through it, and I think it's actually really cool and descriptive. So the general idea is you start with at a point, and you branch out through choices, and at some point in the middle, you have a whole lot of choices in front of you. Like, you've made a lot of choices, and you're waiting to see their implications, and you're expecting more choices ahead. So that's the widening of the diamond. Then you have the end where it's a fucking video game and they can't afford to have a pyramid shape, like inverted pyramid. You have to eventually boil everyone down to one point. And so you see the evaporation of your choices. Like, you kind of see them all being resolved quickly, and then eventually you're at the same point as everyone else. So I guess this is kind of the same thing, but with Claw Island. And so it's a very contracted diamond. One of them would have expected to have spanned the whole game, but instead appears to end at Claw Island. So effectively at 30, you have your choice of your orders, and by 56, I think, or 54, you've already pretty much come to the end of your choices. You're now on the final stretch towards the end.
Oh, maybe. Who knows?
No, it opens up again, doesn't it? It opens up, because I had a couple more choices after Claw Island.
Okay, because I haven't gone past 56. Run me through them.
Because there was the second mission, the one I was talking about where I got confused earlier, the stealth mission. There was a choice of, I could either help the chick that we saved in the first mission, or help someone else, and I decided to help her without actually reading the other guy's choice.
Was she pretty?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Yes.
Well, what? There aren't that many women in this game that aren't pretty.
So, wait. So you're saying that after Claw Island, you just go back to questing?
You had to save someone who would help you on to do another mission.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because after Claw Island, for us, for Vigil, you're given your War Monster dies. And so the Vigil says, hey, a lot of us have died.
Oh, wait, are you talking about that Claw? I'm talking about Return to Claw Island.
I'm talking about Claw Island, the first, because that's where we left off last
week. Once you return
there
back
was a choice
Claw
after,
Island,
there is a choice sure. after the Army comes back return to Claw Island as well.
Oh, wow. He says, well, the one between those two is, after Claw Island, your War Monster die, obviously, and your Vigil needs more people in general.
Oh,
so
oh yeah,
that
for sure. That's completely
yeah,
different.
That's about, but
once it,
that's about
once you come
thing.
Back to Claw Island, it goes full circle, and you're like all together, and like literally, that's it.
That's cool. Well, so do you guys think that's a good thing, or like, what do you mean, Noob? What do you mean by it goes full circle and you're all together?
Well, like, so you come back to Claw Island, and then for sure, tree necromancer dude, leads the three people, and it does not seem like it's gonna diverge again.
It's pointing level 60, so at this point I think we've hit level 60, right? This is kind of the spot where you come back to Claw Island.
Alright, so basically you recapture Claw Island with all three orders working together.
Okay.
What is it called? And then they're like, okay, we'll have the tree lead the entire army.
The tree.
It's
going to go on the tree
Titan.
Now?
The tree. and... So,
his name does sound pretty close to tree.
Does it? I don't remember. Yeah, I just don't remember.
Like,
I'll call him Bush or Shrub.
I've played like 80 hours between level 50-something and where I'm now, and I haven't touched the personal story since. I don't know.
I've left my personal story at level 72.
Yeah. I want to talk about it in a sec. So Noob, so you're saying that in general you feel that everything kind of comes together again. So it seems to be multiple diamonds leading up to it. So everyone kind of branches out and then comes back towards a point, then branches out and comes back towards a point. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Cool.
I think.
And so,
for all I know, it could diverge.
The last thing
I
want to talk about today in terms of personal story is the vision you get in. Because obviously this vision has further implications later down the story and where you go.
To
But we won't talk about that today because I don't want to spoil it for anyone. But there's a vision in that period where you talk to your necromancer guy, goes, hey, let's talk to the Pale Tree, and you get to meet the avatar of the Pale Tree, and she sends you through like this vision quest kind of thing. Just a straight up fucking vision quest.
Does that mean the mission where Air says where Zoja says such nice things to Air?
When isn't she saying such nice things to Air?
That was my turning point on
you
the Zoja
there,
character.
But yeah, I liked
really,
her up until
my
then.
My turning point on Zoja was when they announced Felicia Day was voicing
her. Okay, well, see, I don't hate Felicia Day, so...
Neither do I.
Shav, do you get to do this mission? Do you do the Peltry mission? Oh, man. Do you mind spoilers? Or should we just leave it here?
I'm not too fast.
Okay.
So, basically, there's this dragon that breathes fire.
Standard
and
dragon.
And he's, like, cross dimensions from the world of the Elder Scrolls into Guild Wars 2. And his name is Zaitan. And he left a trail of these crystals that you can pick up in Skyrim, and you can switch into gems in Guild Wars 2. It's really cool.
Fuck you.
I don't know how they implemented that system.
Where did you... I didn't even see that coming. I just came out of fucking nowhere. Well done. Well done. So the point is, like, you talk to the Peltry, and she sends you this vision quest through what is an inverted commas ore. So you're sent there, as it's kind of like grayed out lands. It's like, it looked like everything was covered in fog, right? And you fight. Yeah. So you kind of get a preview of the enemies you'll be fighting in ore, kind of. I don't know.
Like risen chickens.
Do you get to fight a risen chicken there?
I did.
Yeah.
There's a mission involving giant risen chickens.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at
when
that.
When you guys did that mission, did you guys just fight floating weapons?
Yeah.
Those are on ore. Yeah. Those are on ore.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought those were bugged because...
thought the people were invisible?
You know how it's...
Yeah.
Because, like, I saw, like, them running around without weapons. Like, the same name, like, Juggernaut, and they were completely visible, and they had no weapons.
Oh, really?
That might have been a bug.
Yeah.
That might have been a bug. But the weapons themselves, like floating weapons, that's a thing you see in ore.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... Because when I first did that mission, I was... Because we don't want to touch on it now.
Mine broke when I first tried to do that.
What do you mean?
I got to, like... I just ran around, and she just... Like, the dialogue didn't start, and I ended up, like, doing half the mission without her talking.
Oh.
And I couldn't advance forward.
I kind of had the same thing. Like, there's this part where you fight, it's your first time seeing the risen giant, and you fight the group.
Oh, not that part. There. Just like straight up, I come into ore, and then the dialogue doesn't initiate. So I thought you just had to keep on walking.
Right.
And I just ran all the way back. I'm like, fucking, I'll restart the mission.
Oh, man. For me, it was after that risen giant, it didn't go to the next story beat. So I just like literally circumnavigated ore, looking at stuff, killing stuff. And then eventually I walked back to kind of where that mission was, and she was standing there waiting for us. So, but this is like a couple weeks ago. This is like a week ago, right? This might have been a little bit broken.
It was broken for you too. I didn't have a single issue.
But the main thing with that mission is you get to hear kind of a point I want to talk about now-ish. You get to hear Destiny's Edge talking about each other in that mission.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
Fucking Zolgia.
Oh my God.
So spoilers. Turns out they don't like each other.
No. Zolgia and Air, man.
You think they don't like each other? Do some of the later dungeons.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm
talking about. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'm really interested in continuing the dungeons because I've really only done the first two, and I get this feeling like...
Oh, God. In Sorrow's Embrace, Zolgia just tells Air to fuck off. Literally.
In this though, she's just
Arbor. What they do is great.
I just really want to touch on this because I want to talk about dungeons in a second. Like just that story mode through the dungeons because I think that's something we need to talk about. But in this part, you straight up hear Zolgia say to Air, "I wish you'd had died instead of him." Like just like, crazy.
You're the reason. You're the reason Snaf is dead. You should have died instead of him.
Oh my, because the idea is that you meet the characters and you kind of like hear what a potential future for them. So you're hearing like what they're thinking and like what their a possible further interaction between them and their opposed character is. So for, I think it's Logan and Ritlock, because obviously. And they're just being...
I have a question. Was there a point where they ever liked each other?
Yeah.
Did they ever tolerate each other?
Yeah. It was all from the book. Like, if no one really knows where the Destiny's Edge is, all that shit, there's a book called Guild Wars 2.
In fact, if you read the book, you really don't deserve... If you haven't read the book, you really don't deserve to play the game. Like, fuck.
Well, I didn't play Guild Wars 1, so...
And that's what a lot of people did. Like, they just like, I don't really care about the backstory. I didn't play Guild Wars 1, so I don't think this will mean anything for me.
In fact, if you haven't read the books, you don't deserve to play PvE. You should only play fuck off.
Those books are god awful.
I agree, they are fucking awful and very indicative of stuff we will talk about in a second. But in the books, you get an idea of what Destiny's Edge is, and Logan and Ritlock were actually almost brothers. Like they felt they had they formed a connection. Which
yo dog, they're brothers from another mother.
Exactly. Like they straight up they are a human and a char brothers, and they meet in I think it was near Ebonhawk, right? Like some actual human char conflict was happening. And they totally, like, after a series of pretty, I actually think legitimately funny adventures, they end up with Kaith as a group of three and get really close to one another. They're really deep friends. And then Air comes along.
Very fucking close.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't want to go into a spoiler cast about the book because fuck that book. Right. Fuck the book and fuck.
I didn't know that book could get so homoerotic, but it did.
So there's Logan Whitlock, and they're doing Logan Whitlock's thing. And then you have Kaith and her lover, Firelane, who,
she was there, 50 Shades I don't remember of that.
Zaytan, pick it up. That's the third book.
If people didn't know by this point that Kaith is a lesbian with Firelane, then hey, Kaith is a lesbian with Firelane. That's essentially what they did here in that mission. Yep. They essentially make verbal love. I don't
understand why Sylvar even have genders. It just doesn't make sense.
Also, oh no, for Twilight Arbor as another point, take a shot every time you hear my beloved or my love or, like, I don't think Firelane...
Anytime someone is called by a pet name, take a drink, you will die. Let's just say this right now, you're dead.
And then you have...
That first boss might get you killed.
Yeah, the first boss. And then you have, so it's those two, and those are interesting, I guess. Like, if you're into the whole...
One more after that.
Who's the other two? Like, who's left in Destiny's Edge? There's Air and Zoja, is that it? So that's just the five.
Kaith, Air, Zul'jin.
And then so I listened to those two first. I listened to Rogan talking to Whitlock. I'm like, yeah, they're just being themselves. And then I listened to Firelane talking to Kaith, and I'm like, yeah, she's a lesbian. Whatever.
And then you took off your pants and started whacking it.
And then after I finished that, I walked over to because plant ladies are hot. I walked over to Zoja and Air, and I had no idea this was coming at the time. I had no idea what the fuck. Damn.
Fucking Zul'jin. Fucking Zul'jin.
Durin, have you done this part before? Or is this new to you as well?
The flashback thing? Or not flashback, flash forward, I guess. I did that.
Yeah.
Like I said, that was my turning point for Zul'jin.
Run me through how that kind of goes down. Because they're all kind of standing there, right?
First ones you run into are Logan and Whitlock, and they're kind of, you know, going at it like they do.
Yeah.
And again, all of the dialogue is around this character Snaff, which I believe was Zoja's mentor
in the first not the first game, but the book specifically the book Edge of Destiny. Snaff is pretty much the only he's generally the most beloved character in that book, and they kill him off towards the end of it because of some choices that Air did.
And even Logan and Whitlock, like their issue still goes back to talking about Snaff dying.
Yeah.
And then like you said, you know, you go a little bit further and it's Kaith?
Yeah, Kaith and Firelane just being lesbians, and then
and more specifically Kaith deciding to turn over to the Nightmare Court for her lover or whatever. Because clearly what she has been trying to do is
big lesbian orgies at the Nightmare Court.
And then you get over to Zoja and Air, and
what the fuck?
Zoja, the fuck? Straight up, like Revan said, is like, you know, basically like Snaff you should have died instead of Snaff.
Alive.
I think it's really cool that I hate to say it, but her delivery of those lines, like I think that she fucking nailed it.
Yeah, I sat there just stunned for a bit. And then just said in mumble, I was like, all right, my opinion on Zoja has turned. Fuck Zoja. Fuck that character.
Fuck that bitch.
That little sir needs to fucking die in a fire.
And by that extension, Felicia Day is basically
she does such
her,
a good job. Like, I didn't expect something with that much conviction coming out of that little character. And because, again, like you only see these characters if you're playing anything but Asura, you don't see Zoja very often. You only see her in the dungeons, essentially, and a couple of the story
missions. Which is the best thing. But you still see too much of her.
But yeah, regardless. So this is... I just wanted to, for the people who didn't remember that from the storyline or wanted to hear us talk about that, I think just our general reaction is, whoa, that was really effective. That was rather effective, and I'm pretty happily surprised as to just how effective everything has been in terms of story, if it was two, except the part I'm going to talk about next. Yep. So, Chav, did you have to leave now?
It's, yeah, it's like late half there, right? 4 in the morning. My stomach's starting to rumble. I might actually have to get food at this point because it's like breakfast time.
All right, cool. So we'll let you tap out. Just exit the Skype call and send me the recording, man, whenever you can.
Thanks for having me on.
Cheers, man. See you.
Good night.
Woo. All right. So, dungeons, guys. Dungeons. So we talked about the mechanics of the dungeons early in the episode, and I think for this one we're going to talk about all the dungeons concurrently because we'll talk about the story of the dungeons. So if you haven't heard, if you don't want to know anything about the story about the level 70 and 90 and 96 and 98, I think we've done as well. No, we haven't done 98. We've done 96.
Where are you pulling these 90s from?
Numbers, no, 80. No, 70, okay. 76, 76, okay. 78.
Because we didn't do the 76, we did the 78.
Wait, did we do the second one before the first one? Oh, shit, we did them out of order? Oh, no.
Remember? Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Anyway, I'm thinking, I keep saying 90 because I'm used to games having a level cap of 100. I don't know. Anyway. So, yeah, the level 76, and well, 8 dungeon, because we don't know level 76, and then we know the level 70, pretty much all of them except for level 76 and the final dungeon of the game. We've done.
Wait, are you going to be going through all of them or just sticking with the 35 to 60?
Nope. From this point onwards, we're just going to talk about the story only, and we're going to be talking about all the ones we've done. So
this is going to be a two-man conversation.
It's going to be a two-man conversation. Well, I want to talk about the first ones as well. So, all right. How do you guys think about the stories in dungeons?
They're pretty
good. What story? What story?
Too much soldier. Too much
story
soldier.
Could not be worse.
Wait, so which dungeons have you done?
I've done the first two. No, I have not done Twilight Arbor yet.
Okay. Do you mind us spoiling it here? Or do you want
that's to why out? That's why I was asking, because I thought the furthest we were going up was Twilight Arbor.
Oh, no.
If you guys are going to talk about stories for the next three dungeons...
I'm happy
dungeons.
To just talk about what happened. I need a place to vent. I need a place to vent and for people to hear me. And Nubarama, you've done most of them, haven't you? Which ones have you done?
Well, I haven't done Twilight Arbor, and then as the furthest I got was Sora's Embrace.
So you did, you skipped Twilight Arbor, and you did Sora's Embrace. All right,
you did Sora's Embrace with me. We broke that dungeon.
Okay,
in some fantastic ways.
This is gonna be a short discussion, but anyway, we'll end out the show soon because then we're pushing 2.5 hours or something like that.
Are we gonna go over the news?
What?
We totally skipped news.
Oh, did we skip news?
We are literally going backwards. Yeah,
I was like really tempted to say it, but I thought.
Oh,
it was,
shit.
Like,
that's the worst. I completely forgot. Oh, news isn't that spectacular this week. Anyway.
Trading Post is working. Accounts are getting hacked.
Real quickly, the interesting thing about the accounts getting hacked.
Is there any point talking about it now? Because we've already told so many people to leave at this point.
Yeah.
It's more so that, like, because you had mentioned that you hadn't even heard, like, how it was getting hacked or whatever. It's weird because, like, it's not like their stuff is being hacked or anything like crazy like that or like phishing scams. It's literally like Arena has come out and said
password hack.
No, Arena has come out and said like that. Basically, what people are doing is they have hacked other games and other websites, and they are just trying to brute force people's email address and password stuff into Guild Wars 2 to see if they have an account.
Yeah,
that is literally how people are hacking.
That's it. It's as simple as that, and it's just literally change your password, guys. That's kind of
like don't have the same password you have for WoW, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't have a WoW
or PlayStation Network or whatever the fuck else has been hacked. Ubisoft
or your email address.
I don't know why ArenaNet doesn't do the thing like Gmail and Steam does, where it's just like
email authentication
from a new computer.
It does.
Yeah,
they do. They send an email. They've. To even go into this, I guess we may as well. I don't know. We've already started talking about it. So for the hacking thing, what they're doing to combat it. So what's happening is people have been hacked in general by just by using the same password and everything. And that's the kind of evidence that ArenaNet has found. They haven't found any form of like session hacking, like stuff like the crazy stuff you see in World of Warcraft and Diablo 3 doesn't seem to be happening here. I don't know if there's just a vulnerability on Blizzard's side that ArenaNet doesn't have, or the hackers haven't gotten the opportunity to become that advanced yet, or anything like that. But the point is, it's just like basic, literally the most basic type of hack, which is we found your password via spyware or some other shit, and we're just trying it on your account. So in that case, just change your passwords. Otherwise, they already enabled a thing where they email you. So the first time when you activate your account, they email you with your IP and where they believe your address is. And if you didn't read the email You should have. You hit accept or authorize, and that authorizes your current IP and address for your account. Every time past that, where you log in from somewhere else, like for example, if you're hitting college now or whatever, and you had to move, you should have gotten an email which says, "Hey, you're logging in from a different location. Here's your new IP and address. Is this? Do you want to authorize this new location?" And that's what they're sending out to new people.
They're going to do that every time.
Anytime you're on a new IP.
Well, you're authorizing your location, so
that it's going to be that could be crazy at my college because there are so many different connections I could be using.
Yeah,
so many different IP addresses.
Yeah.
Well, the nice part is if you go to the website and you hit the security button, it'll actually give you like a full list of every IP and location that you've logged into recently and how long ago it logged in. And will allow you to actually remotely disconnect your account. So if you go on there and you see that there was a connection to your account from Maryland and you live in Florida, you can actually just go in there and assuming they haven't changed your password and locked you out of the website, you could actually just go in there and like log them out of your game remotely, go in, change your settings, and be mostly safe.
Right. And that's pretty much it. Now that's kind of why I didn't feel like we need to hit news too hard this week, because that's pretty much it. Like, literally just change the passwords. I think people out there are smart enough to already have heard about, if not have heard about this, to already know what they should do, especially with the coverage on Giant Bomb and stuff like that, about password changing and what's being hacked and what's happening at that end. So just be aware. Keep track of your locations. If ArenaNet is spamming you, like, for example, Revan, if you find that ArenaNet's spamming you, I assume that's something you should bitch about. That's something you should email support over. Make Reddit threads and shit like that, and just like get the word out there so they fix it. Right. But I haven't heard that being
Mailbox bombs, anthrax in the mail.
It would only be an issue if I was in my old room, because if I moved my laptop from my room to the living room, I'd be on a different IP address.
Yeah,
that's because of the way that fucking floor was set up.
Yeah. So I don't know how specific it goes to IPs and what level of what depth in terms of digits that they track. I assume they're just really looking for countries and, like, states. Anyway, so, yeah. So that was essentially the touching on news for anyone who's still listening. And I just want to quickly hit on this dungeon story stuff at the end here and end out the show, because we're at 2.5 or 2 hours-ish, and may as well do a short episode this week. There's no real need to go much deeper. So, Revan.
Yes.
So we've done most of the dungeons in this game. How do you feel about the actual story of the dungeons?
They literally could not be worse. Like, I almost turned my laptop off during level 78 dungeon. Almost turned my laptop off because of what happened.
Which one was that? Was that the Logan one, or was that the...
No.
Okay.
I thought that one is... That is acceptable because they had to do that one.
All right.
And there was not a much better way for them to be able to do that one. It's still dumb.
Yep.
But it's okay.
Okay, so...
Wait. Without getting any necessary spoilers, I don't know if you're going to... How spoiler-y you're going to get into.
I'm going to go old...
Probably did they kill the Logan?
No.
Because if not, then they could have done it better.
No.
Did they crush Zolja under a golem?
But remember, we're not saying they couldn't have done it better. We're saying that they probably couldn't have done it worse.
Let me just say this much. They almost went in the other direction.
So the dungeons, what they do in Guild Wars 2 is they follow the path of Destiny's Edge. So up to from level 1 to 30, you're generally conversing with your race's Destiny's Edge characters. So for humans, it's Logan Thackeray. For Asura, it's Zolja, etc.
Unfortunately.
And so at level 30, after that point, you tend to interact with the Vigil, like your various groups of factions in Guild Wars 2. And so for you guys, the Order of Whispers or the Priory, and for me, the Vigil. But along that path, every 10 levels is a dungeon, and the dungeons keep following the story of your main character, your not main character, but your race's character. And it's kind of cool because you get like messages from them in some cases, detailing like where they're going and why, and asking you to help them, or asking you to help one of the other enemies, like people of Destiny's Edge. And generally, like, just like watching how those characters interact. So you get every time you hit every 10 levels, you get an email or a message just saying, hey, you should probably do this dungeon. That's essentially what it is. But they have backstory. So the first one is Ascon Catacombs, and that one is all about, what was it? It was Air and Ritlock, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, the air Ritlock. Yeah. Air is going in to try to find this dwarven sword by going to these old ancient dwarven ruins or whatever.
Trying to find the sister sword to the one Ritlock has,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for Logan. And Ritlock the whole time, first off, is pissed because he's having to go and fix this mess because she's awakening these evil spirits and stuff. And then at the very end, basically comes to find out that he thought this whole time she was getting the sword for him, and no, she was actually getting it for Logan the whole time. Just pissing him off even further.
So as far as that goes, I like that one in terms of story.
That one was pretty
funny.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have any affinity for Air. I think she just tends to fuck things up in general and make stupid decisions. So I find it funny.
I think she's just there. Like, she's not particularly outstanding.
Well, no, I think Kaith is just there.
Of a character.
I
like Kaith.
I like Kaith.
Kaith is there to work.
So that one, like, that one was pretty good. Like, I was relatively impressed with the story with that one to some extent. Like, at least it achieved
its
goal.
Inoffensive.
Yeah. So the one after that
is
Cordicus's manor. And that's
I love Codicus's manor.
What is the reason for Zoja being there? I don't know.
run me through the storyline for that one. I don't really.
So Codicus's manor is basically someone... there's this manor owned by Codicus in Guild Wars 2.
Yep, I think it was Beetleton.
I don't fucking know anything about it anymore.
Wow.
So basically, you're going there.
So basically, you're meeting Queen Jenna and Logan Thackeray at Codicus's manor. He's hosting like a big feast.
He's a not a consulate.
He's the Lord of Beetleton.
Yes,
sort of.
But he's like an ambassador.
He's a member
he's
of
an ambassador
like,
for
the Senate
humans
or whatever.
In interracial relationships. That sounded wrong. Essentially, he has all the ambassadors for the Asura and the Char and the Norn there. And essentially, it's a diplomatic meeting where everyone's getting together with Queen Jenna and Logan and discussing how they're going to fight the dragons. That's the idea of the actual meeting. So you go into it, and this is why I wanted to put this in a different spot, because the cold start is awesome. Like, you go into it, and the first part is like, there's rumors of something, that like, attack might happen on the manor.
Right.
And so your job is to, like, walk around and actually fucking talk to NPCs and, like, listen to, like sort out...
Best dungeon ever.
Yeah, just really cool. You listen to rumors, and you learn
all
more about this character, and then he attacks, and then the rest happens. But
So I picked one of the NPCs, and they straight up, like, I don't know if all of them do, because I only talked to one NPC, but that one NPC was basically like, yeah, that dude, he's kind of shifty. So, like, I didn't need to talk to anybody else. I'm like, okay, where's this guy at? Because he's the guy we need to find.
Yeah, like, they're all like, oh, and so, well, Logan's like, I think this guy might be an issue. Oh, no, he's like, I think something's up. And then Zoja's like, I think it's this guy. And then you're asking questions about that dude. And so everyone you're asking, you either have, like, if you're talking to a butler, they don't know anything. And if you're talking to, like, a Norn, he just wants to drink and that kind of stuff. which is awesome, again. And then eventually, like, you track down this guy. But after that point, I don't remember anything about what happens.
That's because there's no fucking story after that point.
Oh, I know what happens.
No, there is.
It's go save Queen Jenna.
The Asura guy, or no, the bandits or whatever they are, with a mech, capture Queen Jenna and then take her away. That's such a... And you have to go chase her down.
So this is like a Mario story, then?
Yeah, it's Mario.
The queen is in another cellar.
No, not another castle.
No, you don't get the sophistication.
It's a
deep political ploy, you know, deployed by Catechus, but in reality, it's just a makeshift diversion of the real political situation at hand and at Ebonhawk.
That's actually somewhat true.
I'm just making
this
up as I go.
That is actually somewhat true. Catechus turns out to be a shifty character in terms of.
But
yet, and yet Queen Jenna still trusts him.
So dumb.
Palace.
It is like a really minimum exposure to Zoldra, which is fun.
Yeah, like what was the Destiny's Edge in that? Like, it was literally
exposure.
Just nothing. It's the start.
She was there because they all needed to be there.
Yeah.
No, she was there because someone had stolen a Sura tech.
Oh, okay.
And she was looking for it, and when that mech was a Sura tech, so she was there to track it, and I think she fucked off after.
Either way, like, that's like the last time you'll get non-lethal doses of Zoldra, and from then on you're gonna die.
So the one after that is Arbor, right?
Yes,
Arbor was really good. I love Arbor in terms of just how funny it is.
Starts off so well together and then ends so poorly.
Just how hilarious it is all the way through. So at the start, you walk in and there's Kaith standing there, and Logan and Ritlock are next to her, right? Wait, does anyone? So who else did this? Run us through the dungeon. What happens? Yeah.
So they get to talking, and Redlock says, I think he basically says, you have to choose which one of us is coming. Kate says, no, I need both of you. Redlock says, fuck that, I'm out.
And this all happening real
well. I don't think he even says you have to choose. I think he straight up says, like, I'm Logan's not going to run with this guy, so if Logan's here, then I'm going to just bounce. And he just fucking leaves.
And he's just his character model. Like, his character model's there. He's talking.
His character model just turns around and walks away.
And walks out the portal of the dungeon. It is so well done. So hilarious. And then, like, minutes later, you're fighting.
No, then you do the first boss. You get the first chest, and then Kate and Logan talking. Logan says, ha, see, we didn't need Redlock. Kate says, no, we still need him. We need everyone back together. Logan says, fuck this, I'm out.
Oh, no. This is somewhat like how you left us in that mission, with referring to Snaf again. And Logan's like, oh, if you're going to insult me, well, I'm just going to leave then. And he just fucking walks out. Again.
Despite the fact that it was actually my fault that Snaf died. Logan Thackeray. No,
You can blame Air.
That man is the definition of an internet white man. He thinks he's going to go around protecting some princess, and it's like, I'm going to get some sweet poon. But in reality,
so
he could not care less about it.
So he walks out and leaves.
Could not care less about it.
And that is pretty. Well, that one was less entertaining than the first one. And then the rest is just you.
Being like fucking Logan Thackeray.
Yeah.
Hilarious amounts of fun together.
Yeah, exactly. Just sweet lesbian fun with Kate and Fowlin. That's what the rest of that mission is. And it's unofficial.
Why have I not finished that one yet?
Really?
That's what I said. Why have I not done that one yet?
Oh, it's really good. It's really good.
Sweet lesbian fun the rest of the way through.
Oh, yeah.
Why am I to be all over that?
Like, it's subtext. It's really the drinking game. But you know what's happening.
Anytime you hear a pet name, take a drink.
Yeah, dude, that's... Oh, God. The writing in that mission. So, the Logan and Ritlock writing, like, it's okay. It's possible. It's not fantastic, but it's... And what happens is funny. But Fowlane's dialogue... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's just the worst. It's a stupid pet name bullshit that is, like, the fucking worst thing in the world. Anyway, so that's that. And that was again an inoffensive dungeon.
50 Shades of the Grove or whatever.
Green. 50 Shades. 50 Shades of Green. You had it.
50 Shades.
You just had. You just. You're yeah, okay. One step away.
You had it. It was so easy. It was so easy. How did you not
I'm
go?
I'm colorblind.
50 Shades
so fuck you.
So that was that. Also relatively inoffensive. And then you have what the fuck was the next one? It was.
Sorrow's Embrace. Fuck that. That was the most offensive thing I've seen in my life.
So, what happens
the next
that one?
One is more.
Yeah.
They get progressively more offensive.
Yeah. Well, what happens in Sorrow's Embrace?
Can I explain it? Alright, so basically, at the start of the dungeon, everyone's going into the Sorrow's Embrace to, like, find someone and do a bunch of things, I think.
Oh, yeah. So it's
like a dungeon thing.
What was it? It's what technology got stolen again. Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, so it's like Air, Kaith, and Zolja. And then I think it's after the first boss, there's this confrontation where Zolja straight up says, we don't need you. Get the fuck out of our party.
Air.
Zolja says that to Air. Zolja says that to Air. Air just leaves. And I'm like, are you fucking
Yeah, she
serious?
Just literally turns around and goes, fuck. Why are you here, Air? I don't need you. And then fuck off, essentially. And then Air is just like, oh, I'm good. Just going to run off, slip my wrist, and just runs out. And she just has a fucking full sook and just runs. That's it.
Why
that happened?
She just
I thought we were about to
slice
Harbor and have.
Does anyone else feel like these characters are just fucking worthless?
Yeah,
like they're not doing a very good job of portraying these characters Kaith as like heroes.
Yeah,
I think Kaith is like
they make
the real
Air
hero.
My least favorite character in the level 78 dungeon alone.
Oh man, that dungeon. We'll get there. So. But yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, these are heroes who apparently can save the world. Like, that's like the thing. Right?
I think they're pretty good anti-heroes.
They can't solve high school fucking bullshit.
It is. It's just straight up high school bullshit. Like, I understand that someone died. Like, okay, that's meaningful. And obviously you all liked him because he was cool. Snaf was awesome.
Yeah, that's meaningful and everything. But there are fucking dragons attacking.
There's literally
the world is
get
at
over
risk.
Yourself
a dragon
and
can't
do
get
something.
Along.
The size of a continent right over there. Just like right over there. You can't do this. It's so dumb.
I hate to say it, but it comes off as like some of the worst fucking writing I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, easily.
It's these characters are one dimensional in the worst way possible.
Yeah, it's like they all have like one defining purpose or like problem.
One defining purpose, and that purpose is to fuck with one of the other heroes. That's their purpose.
Except for Kate. Trying to band everyone together.
Yeah, exactly. Except for Kate.
Doing a piss poor job.
I don't know. I printed out a pretty big picture cave so I can put it on my pillow.
Oh, you did that too?
Full body pillow?
Full.
Yeah.
Man. So yeah,
I got one of Zoja.
I have to say that Kate's character is kind of
by making all of the characters just horrendously unlikable except Cave. They've made Cave the best character in the game.
Yeah.
By proxy.
It's not like her writing is spectacular or anything like that. Yeah. It's just that she's the only one who's not absolutely fucking eye-stabbingly
crush her skull.
Like
or Cave.
She's the only one you don't want to kill.
Yeah. Just not terrible. She's just not fucking terrible.
Which is funny, because I see her character as, like forgettable.
We could defeat Zaytan.
Yeah.
No.
What, sorry?
Imagine if Cave wasn't there. These dungeons wouldn't exist for people to play.
So that one, and then, oh, does Cave leave at some point, right? As well?
The 70 one would still exist. I don't think Cave leaves.
Does Cave leave the snap? No, she's there the whole way.
No, Cave does not leave, because remember, accidentally reviving.
Yeah, exactly. She's a useless... Fucking! She sometimes tanked it.
She's a leaves a stack of leaves.
Fuck you. Wait,
what? I don't get it. Explain that joke to me, please.
It's like 50 Shades of Green, that joke to me. But with leaves and sacks.
I'm just gonna leave that one alone.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's what.
Wait, I don't.
That's strike tree.
Podcast just led up to that moment. Just that moment. So I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. So, yeah, Kate sticks you with you through. Oh, fuck. Leaf, though.
You missed Durin's one. Stop. You completely missed Durin's horrible one.
I love that you just can't move on. Yeah, like you completely missed mine. You can't move on. You just.
Which one was yours?
He's broken
repeat
you.
Yours.
I said that strike
tree. We broke him. Yeah.
I'm done. if you want to hear us on the mumble, you want to hear gold like this. Fucking
gold.
Oh,
really?
God.
Really? Gold?
So maybe Kate stays with you and is relatively useful. And that one
came out of the other.
So that dungeon is starting to go, it's starting to go downhill. Like, you're starting to say, hey guys, it's level 60 now. We're about to, not Pearl Harbor, Claw Harbor just happened. And we just retook Claw Harbor.
Pearl Harbor just happened.
Claw Island just happened.
Claw Island
just happened, and we retook it, and like we're fighting the dragons now. Just sort out your shit. Just seriously sort out your shit. That's the way you
but
are.
They're
in
completely
personal story.
Separate stories.
Exactly.
I think,
that's the way you are in the personal story. And then like having these dungeons run alongside that, and seeing how fucking piss poor these characters are
like,
reacting.
Compare the characters.
Well, no, see, that's the thing
like,
though. It's like it is
dies
different because
to save your life with those scumbags.
It is different because like your personal story or like. The dungeon story is basically just dealing with all of their bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, as all that is. Your personal story, if you really kind of look at it, like, you are forming the new Destiny's Edge.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
By combining combining the efforts of the three orders and kind of the three people who make up the leaders of those orders, like, you are kind of creating the new Destiny's Edge.
Right. You are the protagonist. But no, I'm actually the protagonist, but you can be protagonist number two.
Like, that's where I feel like the story is going, is that, like, those guys are just going to kind of fuck off or something. I don't know. But, like, you are actually, like, what's going to happen, I feel like, later on, and again, I don't know because I'm not to that point in the game yet.
Yeah.
But I feel like you and those three people and the other tree dude are going to be the new Destiny's Edge.
Maybe.
You are going to be what saves the world or whatever. And
maybe
efforts bring those guys all back together and they realize that all their shit was petty, but by this point, too fucking late because we already saved the world.
I actually hope that's how it goes.
I feel like at like the last second.
They're going to have to be in the last
dungeon.
That's true.
Be
the 11th
dungeon.
Hour, they will
and
get their shit together.
If you do the last dungeon before you finish the story mission, you will get credit for finishing the story.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Apparently, the last story mission leads you to that dungeon.
Yeah, that's true. That'd be new. But we didn't know that doing the dungeon without having done that story mission credits you for the story. That's weird. Anyway, so
I just have a prediction. It's like at the very end, you could be like full health defeating Zaitan. Then a cutscene will happen where everyone in your party gets wiped, and then Destiny's Edge will come in, kill the dragon, and take all of your glory. And the expansion is your revenge on Destiny's Edge.
That would be pretty cool.
Where you go hunt down each member and murder them, and just they took away your glory.
I actually think that's going to be really close to how it goes.
You fight a Risen Snap at some point. I will put money on that.
Oh, damn. That would be cool.
You know what would be really cool? If the Destiny's Edge members just killed themselves so I don't have to, you know, waste my time killing
them. Well, you guys have done all the dungeons except for the last one, right?
Oh, sorry?
No, we haven't done the 76 one.
Well, you did the 76 dungeon.
Yeah.
And then there's one more after that?
Yeah. Well, we've done the second last, but not the third last.
Well, that's why I asked, because I was wondering, like, what if, like, they all fucking die, and you then go up against Risen Destiny's Edge. But then I was like, wait, no, because they would have to do so in a dungeon prior, so never mind, that's not going to work. Damn.
Yeah.
I just want to see Logan Thackeray die.
I would rather die, she was real close
to slitting her wrist.
Oh, God. Okay, so...
start of that 78 dungeon.
So that's... The Zoja one is kind of... It's when it starts going downhill. The Zoja one's when it starts going downhill. But... The one after that, I believe, Sorrow's Embrace, is number 60. Then 70, you have Fireheart Rise, right? The one there? Flame Temple?
Citadel of Flame.
So that one is when the story writing goes all the way downhill, in my opinion. All the way down.
That dungeon starts off in a great way.
Yeah, it really good. So you walk into the dungeon, right? Again, if you don't want spoilers for this one, tap out. But you walk into the dungeon.
How many people have?
Yeah, no, I know. I expecting no one to be listening by now.
He's gonna keep warning him.
Yeah, I need to let him know.
He gave him fair warning.
Yeah. So when you walk into the dungeon, Logan and Ritlock are literally in fisticuffs.
they're literally.
You walk in, and you're just like fucking great.
You walk in,
no, I walked in. I was like, "Fucking yeah!" When he was gonna die?
I just hear on the mumble, Revan going, "Yeah, look at this shit!" And I load in, and I'm like, "Yeah, this is awesome!" Because there's like a war band of Char, and there's Logan in the middle, and Ritlock in the middle, and just fucking beating on each other,
Start that dungeon off with the showstopper.
It's so good. So well, no, the ending of that. So
no, because the story.
Oh yeah, yeah. So the premise is that there's a really like jerk ass flame guy or some shit like that, flame legion guy.
I thought all flame legion are
this jerks. One's trying to be a god or something like that. He's like,
isn't that what they normally do?
Yeah, that's pretty much what they do. But he's closer than the other ones have gotten, I guess. So for some reason, Logan's there. I don't know why. Like, Revan, do you remember why Logan was there at all?
There's a big fur orgy because he's a disgusting furry.
I think he just wants to take the glory away from Ritlock, is my guess. I can't remember. I'm assuming. Just
no, I think so he wants Ritlock to take the glory away from your character.
No, I think he was like, I heard about this from somewhere and I showed up and then... No, that's it. So, I think this is it. So, Logan shows up to fight the this guy. And at the same time, Ritlock shows up to fight this guy because they both heard about it in different means. And then Logan's like, well, that's great. We can fight him together. And Ritlock's like, no, fuck you. You're a jerk. That's kind of the start of the dungeon.
You're a jerk.
And then by some means, I can't... The writing is so fucking bad. By some means, they end up doing the dungeon together. Like, do you remember how, Revan, at all?
I think they just said, fuck it, we'll do this together. We're not going to like each other, but we'll just do it.
Oh, no, that's right.
I was hoping maybe your like, character just tells them to get their shit together.
Maybe.
That would be the best
thing. That might actually be what?
They combine the powers of friendship and they fire the friendship beam.
Marty from Captain Planet shows up and then hits them both with his love ring.
Oh, I was totally going the fucking My Little Pony route. I mean, we were talking about friendship magic.
Care Bears. Care Bears did the pony thing.
So I think they walk in and the flame agent guy sees them and he's like, oh, I will be a god. And then it turns into this crazy flame thing. And then they're like, oh, fuck this. We have to take that thing out. And then they do it.
Be really cool if, like, during the middle of a boss fight, there's, like, a short cutscene where one of them just shanks the other while they're busy fighting.
So, the cool thing is, like, what follows is one of the best dungeons in the game. It's a really fun dungeon. Relatively difficult. One part that might be unbalanced, but in
the
general...
The start of that fucking fight with the greatsword.
Oh, man.
You make it past that. Oh, you're man. Fine.
Yeah, after the dude with the greatsword, watch out for him, but aside from that, you're good.
No, there's a lever. There's a lever on the top of the map. Just keep on trying to find it. You just climb up. There's like a bunch of bricks you can climb up. If you pull the lever, you put him down to the half health. Just try that.
That was a lie. Just as only people out there know, that wasn't true.
Go to the left.
What?
No, go right instead of left to begin.
Wait,
that
you didn't see the lever?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the dungeon, turn right instead of left. That's the way. I did not see the lever, Noobarama. God damn it, noob.
Just keep on trying. Just get one person to tank it, because you probably can, because he's like a really easy boss. And just try finding a wall.
The crazy thing is,
I don't know how you eat that damage. As a
no, you can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. But I don't want to go into it too much, because we haven't talked about that dungeon specifically. So the crazy thing is, you go through this really cool dungeon, and the entire way, it's actually almost, it is like the, you know what's going to happen because they kind of, you know, they're going to resolve their differences at some point before the end of the game.
There's only the two of them and no one else. They have to kiss and make up.
Yeah. So the whole dungeon, they're like slowly, like, we overcome challenges and they're like kind of getting together. They're like, okay, yeah, we can work together.
Best butts now.
We can work together.
Slap dicks.
And
then they fucking force it.
And then they,
with one particular move.
Go ahead, Rod. Go ahead.
The fucking Flame Legion guy breaks the bridge we're standing on, and Ritlock falls, and Logan saves him.
No. Ritlock falls.
He saves
him with a
slow motion arm
to the
grab.
Edge of the cabin.
God damn it!
Put his hands out.
Yep.
Fuck
Ritlock
you.
Grabs it with what he's like, what is that? With his paw, and Logan hoists him back. Like, they fucking put cliffhanger.
Man, I hope it would have.
Into
been
Michael
nice
was too.
Ritlock pulls Logan down with him.
Like, seriously, I could not believe it. I was sad. Our entire party was just laughing our fucking heads off because of the...
To be fair, like, most of the times, I just immediately skip the dungeon cutscenes because I really don't want to fucking go through them. Not because they're bad, just like, what? I don't care. I just don't care.
Oh, man,
care.
It's...
Like, I don't care about these characters. Like, except Kate.
It is so dumb. Like, it is so dumb.
And then in the end, they don't actually make up.
Oh, God. Well, they kind of... So at the end, you have a really awesome boss fight, and they're working together. And then they're like, hey, we should maybe get a beer sometime. That's kind of the end of that dungeon, which is fine.
They agree to disagree and never talk of fucking the snap fight again.
Yeah, that's the end. That cliffhanger moment is possibly the worst piece of writing I've seen in a video game since, like, 97. Like, so it has...
I don't understand how he could just forgive Logan for killing Snaff, because that's
because
basically
he saved,
what Logan,
Logan saved his life. Logan could have just let him fall.
Oh, God, don't.
Jesus Christ.
Also, I'm just right now. That was cheesy.
That was cheesy.
And bad. Air is just bad.
Yeah, so
Air is just
that one
horrible.
Was enjoyable in the same way that I enjoy G.I. Joe and, like, other terrible fucking movies. Like, they're just really...
Learning
ironically amazing. Ironically
G.I.
amazing.
Joe.
But the air dungeon, so we didn't do the 76 one, so we're just gonna skip to the 78. But oh God. Revan, let's do this.
Oh God, fuck air. Fuck air.
So dumb.
Kate should have just let her go
like
through that dungeon by herself.
Or
walk
like
away.
Figuratively.
Oh, man.
Like figuratively. Not literally.
You figuratively,
I think she,
fuck her.
I think she
disgusting.
Might.
She's a video
literally,
game
I think she might crush me.
So Air
no,
is essentially literally probably. Committing suicide. She's just the dumbest. She's like, oh, I'm gonna go into this possible situation. Then and what's Kate is just like, no, it's impossible. You shouldn't do it. You will die. And Air's like, oh, it
that's
doesn't
matter. Really good Kate impression.
Literally,
she has to help the Codon.
I have to help the Codan, and it doesn't matter if I die. No one needs me anyway. Like, literally, that's almost word for word.
You know what? Just fucking let her go, then.
Word for word.
Just fucking let her go.
Just play some, like,
I was ready to walk out
the dungeon,
like, all right, she can die.
It was almost word for word.
Nobody loves me.
What she says.
My parents hate me. I slip my wrists.
Like, straight up. no one needs me, or some shit like that. And then she runs in, and Kate is like, oh, for fuck, and then runs after. Like, that's the premise for the dungeon.
It's always air fucking Kate's, it up for
there are two instances where Kate should have said something other than what she said. That instance, she just said, god damn it, and ran after. What happened at the end of it, Kate literally just said, you know what, fuck this, well, I'm done with you, you're out, get out of here, no, I'm done.
So the entire point of that dungeon is the character progression of air from... a lot of guilt over...
A suicidal bitch.
Yeah, a lot of guilt over Snap's death and being suicidal to coming to terms with it, right? But again, almost... even worse than the cliffhanger moment of fucking Fire Temple, or whatever it is. Her fucking... her story, like, her progression is just the worst. Her progression is the worst. Reverend, do you remember... can you vocalize? I can't... I'm angry right now at how bad it is.
All right.
Just remember the video.
I want you to think about like a kid's cartoon and how there's a lesson at the end of every episode.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
This is perfect. This is right.
So, Kate is trying to beat this fucking idea of just get over this. Get over Snap being dead. We need you. We need your help. The world is still at risk. She's trying to beat that into Air. And Air says no. Over the course of that dungeon, there's this Codan who's trying to save the voice.
His mate, essentially.
Of the Codan, yeah. His mate. Something happens to her, and he gets depressed. And at the end of the dungeon, when they beat the final boss, Air just says, look, it doesn't matter how many times you fall, it's about how many times you get up. And then Kate just goes, that's what I've been saying the whole time.
And they pop the little, the more you know. Star after that.
They should have.
A little jingle.
No, but then Air goes, I think I just need to realize that for myself.
And
then I closed my laptop. So.
Guys, you're not making me want to play this game anymore.
Okay, Duran, let's make RuneScape accounts. Let's buy memberships, and that game has such a better
and
story.
It sounds crazy, but that's exactly how it goes. It's literally like, I have learned that I must get over my past. I have to go forward with this. And it's awesome. I reward them. I think most of us have the same reaction. We reward the writers of Kaith for her reaction, and because she just straight up says deadline, just like for a deadpan. This is what I've been telling you the whole time, the whole time. And I was like, sometimes people must go through hardships and discover things on their own.
Fucking feels so bad for Kaith. Just like the most worst.
You want to talk about somebody who's like probably on the brink of suicide, just dealing with all of these fucking dipshits.
Oh,
and she's like, I was born into this world to deal with this.
Oh god, we haven't done the Zoja one. Oh god, that's gonna be the worst.
Oh my god,
what happens to her? Does she just fucking forgive him?
No, because no, you can't be.
Like,
because
she's the one person.
It makes
that
sense
died.
Now why Kate, why Zo, sorry, why Air is so depressed for the 7-8 one. I think Zoja just fucking tears into her in the one before that. Which I don't know how I'll feel, because I hate both of those characters. It's going to be two of the characters I hate.
I think I hate Zoja more. It's easier to hate Zoja more.
After seeing these dungeons, I can see why Kate switched sides.
Nightmare Core have their shit together at least. They at least know what they're doing.
Well, not only that, but she's like, you know what? I'm dealing with all these fucking dipshits. Right? I'm just going to go over here and get some fucking poontang.
And potentially kill them and just finish this. Yeah, I'll solve their problems. I'll kill them all.
Man. It is
like,
so
like, they're
bad.
Probably a bigger threat to humanity than
so wait, so having heard those two, Noob Rama and Durin, what are your feelings about the stories and dungeons?
This is why you don't put fucking stories
shining,
in dungeons,
I'll be,
okay?
I'll be the shining knight in shining armor.
It's not necessary. Go in, kill bosses, get loot.
Endless.
Yeah.
Thing is, Star Wars did this, and for a couple of them, they did it really well.
Yeah, they did.
Like, the... Yeah,
but
like the ones that involved Revan, in Star Wars were really good.
You're in Star Wars?
Yes, I am. I'm the Darth Lord. I switched sides, was a Jedi, came a Darth Lord, came back.
Wait, like
when I disappeared
like
for a couple
Star
hundred
Wars
years,
or like Star Wars 4, 5, and 6.
Before all that, I'm like thousands.
Extended
years
universe.
I don't get it.
Yeah,
extended I don't universe. Get it.
Extended
what,
universe.
What do you mean? What's extended?
That's universe? The old Republic era.
Don't worry. No. He's. What, God damn it! Stop responding to him.
What's the old Republic?
Stop fueling his madness. but so how do they handle it in Star Wars? Like, it doesn't. How could
Better just, writing
it's just better. Characters. Yeah, it's just good, right?
I think one of the biggest things is you didn't have these like recurring characters that came back for the dungeons. The dungeons had their own. There would like tie back to the main story of the game. Each dungeon kind of had its own individual story.
Right. Which is better.
Although a couple of them were linked. Like there was
two
that were relatively close in level that were linked to
like
each other.
Like vignettes. Vignettes are a good way to do story. Just in general. I like the idea of a vignette. And that's what I was hoping for from these dungeons. And they are to an extent. It's just that the through line through it. My main thing is, right, the idea behind this is fine. It's fine to have dungeons running parallel to Pressa's story, but not but entirely optional. It's fine to have them talk about Destiny's Edge, because, we somewhat know those characters from the book or whatever, and they're somewhat intrinsic to the plot in Guild Wars 2, and it's fine that the dungeons are then sorting out their problems.
Because we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we haven't seen that yet.
Like, well, literally, I'm in my 70s. I've not seen how those characters are in any way necessary for the continued narrative of that game.
Well, so you know that their characters and they're important in some way.
Was the cutscene that summed up everything that happened in the 60 dungeon or in the 70 dungeon? Or 78 dungeon?
What do you mean? A cutscene that summed up everything? That was the really 78, good I think. I think it was in the 60.
No, it had to be the 78 because Kaith narrated it.
But she was there in the 60 as well.
Yeah.
78 would make sense, though, because that's the... I imagine the final one before they all come together.
I think it's 60 because it explains who Snaff is. That's what it's really about. It's about because that's why I didn't really go into it in this episode because they do
they explain why everyone is at odds with each other.
I think the biggest issue is like don't base in-game story on a book likely nobody read or a lot of people didn't read.
Yeah, like I'm surprised that the book. Like they left out so much and they left so much open to questions and didn't do. For example, they did a cutscene straight up, which explains what the issue is. Like it explains why everyone's fighting, and they did it in the level 60 dungeon, which is entirely optional content, entirely aside from everything else. And so for most people, they would have no idea because most people haven't read the books and most people haven't done that dungeon. What the fuck's happening?
That cutscene should have been a lot earlier.
Yeah, that cutscene should have been at the fucking start of the game. Like it's,
you should have had whoever, like whatever race you're playing, the main hero of that race. Should have kind of done a breakdown of what Destiny's Edge was and why they are no longer to elite. Because really, your whole story arc is bringing Destiny's Edge back together again.
Exactly.
But you don't know why. You don't know who they are or why.
I also would like to see each person put their own personal spin.
That would be awesome.
Because, Logan would have explained away why he left. Ridlaw would have given Logan shit about
that would have been perfect.
It would have been objective.
That would actually be the best way they could have possibly have
killed Air.
Yeah. And
I don't know what Air would have said.
I had to make a hard choice. And then my Air voice is pretty accurate, I think. Anyway, so I don't think the thing we should take away from this is that you shouldn't put dungeons and story together. It's just that, fuck, guys.
It should be bad.
What I'm taking away from this is I feel like, and this is probably not true, but maybe you guys can speak to this a bit more since you played Guild Wars 1. But as somebody who this is my introduction to ArenaNet and their storytelling, they're fucking bad at it.
Oh my god! See, I think what I have to say in response to that is remember that episode where I said on air. Hey, I watched Wooden Potatoes videos, and I realized I like Guild Wars for the PvP.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see where I'm coming from now? Can you kind of see where I'm coming from? Because the ideas behind it is fine. All the ideas that go into it are legitimate and cool. Like a reunion story between this badass group of people is awesome. It could, but I would have preferred the Expendables to fucking high school drama, children's television bullshit.
They didn't even fucking need story in these fucking dungeons. Who does dungeons for story?
Great would it be if the dungeons on story mode were just like this badass romp with one dude and this other dude, and then it's like shit
to
goes
be fair,
down.
I fucking hate those stories. Those are probably my least favorite kind of stories.
What, the badass romp? I love badass romp.
It's so dumb.
It would have been better than what we got. Day
is one yeah, because we got high school drama.
We still missed two dungeons.
So we have two dungeons to go, and we'll probably round them out next week. I hope we've at least to some extent given the people who did those dungeons themselves some closure by saying our personal reactions to them, because yeah, we agree that shit's fucked. That those dungeons have bad fucking stories in them. Oh god.
I can't wait to see the story for the 67 or the 76.
Yeah, the 76 one and the final one. Oh man. We're gonna do this this weekend. Probably today or tomorrow.
No, you wanna see it. You wanna see it, because they're gonna be awful and you know it.
I know.
You know it. You wanna see
this
it.
Time,
you wanna see this train wreck.
This time when you finally get around to doing the Fireheart Rise one, the Flame Temple or what it is, and you see that the cliffhanger moment, at least you'll laugh. You'll know it's coming and you'll laugh. For us, it was a stunned silence and then laughter. Which is what you want. Which is what you want from the story. But with that, I hope other people know what we're talking about and can somewhat, just know where we're coming from. And me back your direction, hey, we agree, this shit is fucked. And with that, that was the episode of the Linking Cast. Is there anything else anyone wants to talk about? We're at 3 hours. We should probably roll it around it, right?
Let's talk about
the trading post.
Oh god, that deserves a whole episode. The trading post. Jesus Christ, there is so many things and so much to it.
And what a couple of us have been doing to the Mystic Forge.
Oh god, yeah.
And breaking the economy.
I'd put one tip out there. Don't buy Mystic weapons. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm not gonna say anything more to do with it because I don't want to destabilize the fucking economy more. But don't buy them. Mystic weapons are a ripoff.
You don't want to destabilize the economy anymore, but I do. Yeah. I've crashed a couple markets already. I'm going for the entire thing.
We don't have time to go into it. We don't have time to go into it. Anyway, so thanks for listening to LinkyCast. This is episode 20. Spoilers. I think we're doing only one more spoiler cast. Like, if we can't get the endgame spoiler cast done next week, we probably might do it like as a special episode, because I want to go back to our normal format with discussions. So with that, this will probably be our second last one, if not our last spoiler cast. So I don't know what we're gonna talk about next week. Maybe give suggestions in general. We're gonna do the plugs. So Durin, do you have any plugs this week?
Definitely not this week, because I will not be streaming, since I am going to be prepping for moving.
Hey! New Barama, any plugs?
What do I normally
plug? Jabba, piece of gaming hug.
I
hate
yeah.
you. I hate you. You're really, really bad at this.
I think he's just wiped out from his, from school.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't have school time.
No, he just had a session with Kaith right before we started recording, and he just...
yeah.
No, Kate's a lesbian.
No, she's not. But I think Savari's a bi. I'm pretty sure Savari's a bi. All Savari's a bi.
Not in my mind.
I think that's the thing.
Well, in my mind, she is a lesbian, but I'm a woman, and that's what matters.
And with that.
Riven, any bugs this week?
No.
You're part of the Garnetly Fantasy Football League, right?
No.
No?
No, I didn't get in.
Oh.
There was an issue. Where I missed something and I didn't get to join the second league.
Oh, is there any way people can compete against you in fantasy football?
No, because that was probably going to be my last one.
All right.
Actually, that was definitely going to be my last one.
I have one last plug. What's up? So I'm going to start writing The Sexy Adventures of New Barama and Cave. The Sexy Lesbian Adventures.
No, The Sexy Adventures of the Protagonist in Cave.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Protagonist. That's true, I do have a female character. I'm willing to roleplay, so... Anyone's up for some sexual roleplay? Wait, what am I doing?
You're just being normal. You're just being normal.
We do have that channel.
I think these are some antisocial tendencies that I'm exhibiting.
So,
Noob, we do have the channel called Suki's Sexual Dungeon, and we do have a safe word.
That's right. I renamed it Suki's Sexual Dungeon.
Awesome. I was mistaken. Anyway, I do have one plug. I do have one quick plug.
Go ahead.
I wrote a blog on Giant Bomb titled Guild Wars 2, The Good, The Bad, and The Acerbal, where I kind of just talk about... some of the kind of the good and the bad of the game. I haven't covered everything. I do plan to do a follow-up where I cover things like structured PvP, world versus world, and dungeons, as well as a few other elements as well that I just didn't get to in this one, or that I haven't really touched much in the game yet, since I've mostly just been doing leveling. But if you're interested at all in a fairly lengthy kind of opinion piece on how where the game sits, or I guess just generally my opinion on the game. You can find it there on Giant Bomb. Just look me up. It's like my only blog post, so it should be pretty easy to find.
Cool. And I assume you're just not sucking at stick the entire time. You're trying to be objective.
Did you guys see how they fucked up YouTube?
YouTube's
really fucked up now.
Thank you. I assume you're being like relatively objective and stuff. Like, yeah, people shouldn't go in expecting to read something equivalent to a dude talking on a podcast about Guild Wars 2.
I definitely bring up some issues with the game that shouldn't be there. And,
well, give us a preview. What kind of stuff do you bring up?
I'm just kind of quickly scrolling through it. It's been a little while since I wrote it. I kind of break it down in review kind of style. So I talk about kind of the world of the game, both kind of the good and the bad, how the loading screens can be an issue, but they also kind of come along with the waypoint system that I feel is much more player friendly than mounts. So just kind of things like that, where it's right. Things that the game has done to kind of further the genre, but maybe some negatives that have kind of come along with that.
Cool. And so with that, my main thing is from this point onwards, we're probably going to be doing something closer to our normal method, like show type. And I probably hopefully won't forget to fucking do the entire news segment next week. but I'm happy we didn't, because we had some pretty interesting, at least fun discussion at the start. So fuck it. Whatever. It's a Linkcast. So... Yeah,
it should just be like that's our thing now. It's just
fuck it. It's Linkycast. I like it.
Linkycast. We'll make fun of midgets. We'll make fun of Germans. You know?
Jesus Christ!
We can be as racist as we want. I cannot believe we
spent like 20 minutes talking about midgets today. Oh fuck!
Like, and but it's okay because fuck it. It's Linkycast.
All your fault.
Anyway,
think our podcast is misogynistic, racist, or offensive to disabled people? Fuck it. It's the Linkycast.
Oh shit, that was perfect. I didn't know one talked during that. I'm just going to cut that out. No. So yeah, if you have any suggestions or questions, we actually surprisingly know quite a bit about this game, more than what we say on the show. So if you have any deep mechanical questions, I'm almost certain we can answer them. For example, how to make money in the Mystic Forge. But we know, surprisingly enough.
Benny knows how to
Benny
make
know.
That. He had 20 gold.
How to access a secret teabag emote.
He had
20
gold earlier this week.
Yep. I've made 15 gold in 4 days.
I've probably made about 10. Right,
I do talk to you guys after this
podcast. You guys are going to get 72 hour bans.
Dude, I did it.
That needs to get paid.
We didn't even use a single exploit. We just played the auction house. I sorry, played the trading post.
5% of Lincoln Porsche owns 99% of the guild's wealth. This is
you know
insane.
What? I'm going to say this on the podcast.
Occupy Lincoln Porsche.
There's a skill point in Strange of Devastation that is glitched. And
you're not doing this.
Only Guardian.
Okay, you cannot believe it.
No, I'm going to tell them how to do it.
You don't realize how glitched this game has been so far. Skill points being glitched are not anything new.
No, but it's glitched, and the only way for it to work without a Guardian fixing it with the Staff 5 is to wait until the servers reset at 3 in the morning.
Right, yeah. So there's a skill point, which is like a... I think it's like a bow thing. It looks like a.
It's like the Orion weapon.
Yeah, it's one of the Orion weapons.
It's a sword and a shield or something like that.
Yeah. So if you go there, it's a glitched. Green. Like it starts off green, like a friendly, and when you activate it, it becomes attackable. But the thing is, at the moment, after you kill it the first time, or at least until recently, after you kill it the first time, it doesn't reset, so no one can get the skill point again for the whole day. But if a Guardian uses the line of warding, the thing you can't pass, next to it, for some reason, it fixes it and it goes hostile. And then you can kill it and get the skill point. But also, when the servers reset, if you're the first one there, you can get the skill point if you don't have a Guardian or a friendly Guardian to help you out.
Wait until 3 a.m. Eastern time and do that skill quest.
Yeah.
Yell out on the map chat. Is this skill point still glitched? And if I'm on that area, I will run over there. And
or just for you. Or just send a whisper to Revan or RBAAM.
Or you can tell everyone in your server.
Oh no! Please no! 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 Why would you do that? No!
That is his character.
And for a nominal fee of 2 gold, he will.
Oh damn! So there's plenty. Like, if you guys have questions about how to make money in Guild Wars 2, or what gear you should get, or how you should gear out, we had a couple of ideas what to go into with this episode with, but I wanted to do more spoiler casts just so we get that discussion out of the way for later. Because there's literally, I was surprised how much stuff there is we could talk about post release.
Message me and I'll tell you where the secret lover is.
Straight up, like optimal gear combinations. Like I have multiple listings of optimal gear combinations for different build types in PvE. So if you want to know that, just message me. I'm not going to tell you specifically, but if people respond, I'll talk about it in the podcast. And with that, so we're thelinkycast@gmail.com or @thelinkycast on Twitter. You can follow us / email us there.
Like us on Facebook.
Don't like us on Facebook. God damn it, Noob. Like how many people have liked that now?
I want to add everyone.
How many
on
people
Facebook
have liked that?
It's still seven. Friends.
Is it still seven?
Like 8 or something like that.
I didn't know you had a Facebook group.
Oh, God, it's the worst.
Well, no, Revan, I believe we have a blank Facebook page that says the Lincoln Cast on it.
All right, fine. You know what? I'll make a post right now. This Facebook page is not blank.
And so, yeah, also post in the forums on our either Guild Wars 2 Guru or Giantbomb.com. We put up a Giantbomb first, and then when we have the YouTube together, we post it to Guild Wars 2 Guru. So if you notice the best disparity there, that's why. But yeah, just post there and we'll answer your questions wherever we're able. With that, thanks for listening to Linkcast. Goodbye. Really?
Bye.
Is it goodbye? It's goodbye already. Goodbye.